what's popping, people? It's another week. Another week in November. But hardly another week. The country is still gone absolutely bonkers. I don't know when this stops. When do people get tired of protesting?
What's that?
Don't people get tired of protesting after a while and just go, oh, I don't have the energy?
Oh, not if they're mad, I guess. Do you get mad at the protesters?
Not really mad at them. It just seems so odd right after an election. And now I'm getting the feeling that it's a lot of it has to do with the Electoral College. People are saying, she got more votes. And it's like, no, that's a rule going in. Come on, don't use that as an excuse.
No, I know, but a lot of people don't like the Electoral College, including Trump, who even tonight on 60 Minutes basically said, yeah, the Electoral College is ridiculous.
I agree. I don't know why it's not a popular vote.
It should be.
I understand why they had the Electoral College, but this is... Why are we so beholden to everything going on in 1800?
The Constitution.
Yeah. A little silly.
Which can never be changed.
I know. Okay, we got Mark from Berkeley, Jace here from Plymouth. I'm Drew from Ferndale. It's Drew and Mike podcast. And we're just 2 days from the 25 years to the day. My first day at WRIF. Mike Clark was working too, but he has his start date as December 9th, I think.
Hey, how long were you in town before you started? Like, did you move here, and did you have a week? Did you have a month?
We had like 4 days.
Oh, man.
I know. But we had Lynn Whittison, who had been on Riff for years.
For the bridge.
Exactly. And Fred McLeod was doing sports. TC was there. The problem was Lynn Whittison quit. The day before we started, Lynn was in doing the show, and we were just hanging out. Learning the board and stuff, how stuff worked, and she quit right after the show. So that was nice. And actually, I didn't take the job originally because I came in and interviewed with Bob Shute, who was a GM, and Jim Pemberton, and everything was great, except when I met Lynn, she was so miserable.
Yeah.
She was so unhappy, I just said, I don't want to be part of this. I mean, I wanted the job,
so
but
it was
almost
a relief then that she didn't.
I guess,
quit in a way.
It wasn't, I actually liked her. I thought she was good, and she was just unhappy, and I thought...
No, but I mean, if she's going to be unhappy, and
true,
you're going to be unhappy, that's not going to work. It's like when a recruit is... This is a loose analogy. Remember that recruit that was mad at Michigan because they told him too late that they didn't want him?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, well, do you really want to go to the school if they don't want you? Like, if they just left that scholarship, you're going to go there and not play and be miserable? It makes no sense. He goes to Nebraska and everything's fine.
I got it. The thing was, I thought we'd win her over. I just thought it would all work out, and it would be good to have her because she'd been in town for a long time. It's always nice to have somebody help you transition. But I came in by myself originally, and when I said, you know what, Jim, I think I'm going to go to San Jose, which was KUFX, a classic rock station there that had numbers in San Francisco, and did really well in San Jose, and he said right away, he goes, it's Lynn.
Oh, really?
Yes. Ooh. And I said, well, why would you guess that? And he said, well, Lynn's got a real deep voice. Oh, Lynn's not very happy, and we understand that. She's a great girl, though. And so he suggested bringing Zip in, and both of us doing the show, and that way, we'd sort of have our thing. And
that seems obvious.
Yeah.
Seems like it would be the obvious thing to do.
But I don't think they wanted that many bodies originally. So anyway, Zip came in. I came back at the weekend of the Clarence Thomas Anita Hill hearings.
Oh, yeah.
Which was awesome. Because I was on TV all day. So instead of just sitting in the room twiddling my thumbs, I was just rapt watching that and laughing my ass off. And they hired both of us.
Nice.
So yeah. And that was that's another story. We lived together for the first 4 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they put us up in this place right near the station. And one night, Zip, who liked to party a little bit, Zip was partying pretty hard, and he drove his car into a ditch about 2 miles from the apartment.
Oh, boy.
And he was so concerned that he was like, he wasn't really bombed, but he probably was a .10. He was a .10 then, 91. So he went through this forest. He just cut through this forest to get to the apartment, just left his car there. And when he got to the house, there was blood streaming down his forehead. It was like he ran into a porcupine. He had all these things, these
sticking out of
sticky things in his head, these thorny things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he had just was determined he's going to make it through that frickin' forest.
Wow.
So I had to spend like 2 hours pulling stuff out of his head.
Oh, man. How adorable. What a couple.
I know.
I don't know if Julie would do that for me today. You deserve it. No.
And then I remember a day not too long after that. Oh, when he picked up his car, I didn't really know, you know, he'd picked up his car yet, but he had. And so the next day, he got to work like 5 minutes before I did. And when I got in the parking lot, his bumper was sticking out of his window. He'd knocked his bumper off. But
oh, so he just
picked it up and put it in the, okay. In the back seat.
What else are you going to do? That's understandable.
I'll be fine.
There were some adventures. Wow. Definitely. But
wild.
Yeah, those first couple of years. Boy, I tell you, that was I didn't think we were going to make it. I really didn't. Zip didn't make it, but I didn't think any of us were going to make it.
No shows ever, you know, start off on fire, though. It's so rare. Look at Kai. I always liked the Conan reference when he started at late night.
True. He had zero experience to boot. I mean, that was a miracle when you think about it.
Working on 13-day contracts. And then finally decided, well, if we're going to fail, let's just do it our way.
Yeah, you have to go in there just saying, you know, I don't care if I fail. I'm just going to do my thing. Mm-hmm. And I think the problem is when you're so unsure of if it's working or not, and everybody's looking at the ratings all the time, and so you're trying to satisfy too many masters, and you start doing what somebody else wants you to do. And then when it fails, they're not going to be fired. You're going to be fired.
Yep.
So anyway.
Do it your way and get fired.
Yeah, get fired for what you're doing, for sure. At least you know you gave it your best shot. So anyway, we both were talking today about Saturday Night Live last night. Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
Wow, did he knock my socks off.
He's so great.
I missed that
show, man, Chappelle's show.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I miss him, period.
The sketch he did, the Walking Dead sketch with his old Chappelle show characters and Tyrone, that killed me, and it's... Just its stupidity, it's ludicrous it was.
Yeah, it was really, it was just plain stupid, but funny as hell. Yeah. And the breastfeeding thing was just
awesome.
Legendary. The last skit of the night, too. Yeah.
What do they call that, a 10-1? That's the odds it has of getting aired 10-1.
Well, how could they have left that thing? I mean, how could they even risk that thing getting bumped?
I know. Well, you know, I like a sketch where the actors almost break. You know, you can tell they're about to just lose it, but then they don't. Like, Fallon did it every sketch almost, but these guys pretty much don't break a lot. And Pete Davidson, the young guy, started losing.
Oh, yeah, he's trying to hold a cookie over his face.
Oh, man.
When he came out of the,
just
behind
covered.
The curtain, yeah, covered with milk, that was when they lost it.
Oh, that was unbelievable.
So here's Dave's open.
Before he did the monologue, we should talk about the cold open.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, everybody's ready for this SNL coming off the election and to see what are they going to do? How are they going to skewer, Trump being voted in? What are they going to do? And, boy, they just answered with a thud in my book. It was Kate McKinnon, dressed as her Hillary character, playing Hallelujah, the Leonard Cohen song, at the piano.
Why would you combine Leonard Cohen with...
I mean, it's a great song.
Absolutely.
It's a fantastic song.
She did a nice job singing it. She's
and he's
fine.
Dead. But then at the end, she just turns to the camera and, like, the Hillary character says, I won't give up and you shouldn't either. Which, it's like, really? This isn't 9/11. Nobody's dead. You know what I mean?
I didn't even know. I didn't even know why she said that. I was so confused. Mark, this is going to be. I feel really stupid about this. I didn't know. I thought it was just Kate McKinnon doing the song. I wasn't thinking this is Hillary.
Oh, you didn't
doing
think
the
it
song.
Was she was dressed as Hillary? That's fine.
I mean, I don't know.
In
I mean, I feel really.
Suit.
I feel really stupid about it. But why would Hillary be singing Hallelujah?
But SNL's known for its satire of politics, and it just left that at the door. It just said, you know what, we're not even going to bother. This is so heavy, we don't know what we're going to do with it. Which, that's fine if, you know, the only time, what's the only other time you remember doing something like that? It's the opening after 9/11 with all the police and firefighters and Giuliani.
Right.
When it was really solemn and, you know, we need to laugh kind of thing going forward. Is this really how they're going to compare that? I thought it was just lame.
Well, some people are raving about it. They're connecting.
Why?
I have no idea. I honestly have no idea.
I don't know if you know this or not. I don't like Trump. But even I thought that was a ridiculous way to open up SNL. I think it was stupid.
I just, I don't know.
And not only that.
First of all.
Not only that, they had him as a host. This is the show that had him as a host. And now he's so awful that he's been voted in that we have to act like people are dead because of it.
Mark, when she went into Hallelujah, I just thought it was a tribute to Leonard Cohen.
Yeah.
Because why would Hillary Clinton be singing Hallelujah? It just made
no sense.
But I should have noticed that she was not Kate McKinnon, but she was, her hair was like, you know, I think I feel stupid about that. But I just don't, why would Hillary Clinton be singing Hallelujah? She doesn't even sing.
I think I just noticed that because I was waiting for a political satire, political commentary for the cold open.
But then she's singing Hallelujah, and he just died. So I thought, oh, they're honoring Leonard Cohen.
Is Leonard Cohen big enough to be honored?
No, I didn't think he was.
At the opening of SNL?
I didn't think he was.
On a boring week where nothing happened.
No.
Is he big enough?
No, not really.
Of course not.
Not really?
Yeah. So that's...
I feel really stupid about the whole thing.
I don't know. I love SNL. I still do. I always have. I've always loved that show. And that's like the biggest disappointment they've ever had to me.
That was a real thud, in my opinion. Leon Russell died today, by the way.
Two guys, by the way, that I feel like I should be better aware of or more hold more reverence towards. And I know like four Leonard Cohen songs. I love them all. They're great.
Well, he's a real niche guy.
Yeah, I know.
He's like a modern Sinatra, I suppose.
Yeah. The poet.
Yes.
Take this waltz.
But Leon Russell has a really cool background. He was in part of the Wrecking Crew in the 60s.
Everybody loves him. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's very beloved.
John, the Beatles, everybody points him as an influence, but to me, it's...
Well, I don't think
I'll take their word for it.
I don't think his music's getting a ton of airplay. Yeah. Song for You has been covered by a million people, including Ray Charles, and it's a ballad, a love song. It's a great song, but he had some hits in the early 70s, too. Tightrope was a hit off Carney, which was a big album.
I think the most fascinating thing about him is that he fell on dire straits. And then Elton found him, right? And
Elton John bailed him out big time.
Yeah, and kind of brought him back to stature and did the duets album with him.
But he was part of that Wrecking Crew and also part of Phil Spector's Wall of Sound. And he was a big arranger. And, you know, that Wrecking Crew plays on so many records. He and Glenn Campbell and Hal Blaine, the drummer. And they were just the studio guys for virtually anything. The Byrds used the Wrecking Crew. The fucking Byrds.
Wow.
That's how... people wanted to save money by just using this studio bunch. And so you know, you'd have really pretty legitimate bands going in there and not having their guys play on the recordings, which I think is so weird. But he's on a ton of stuff. And then he got a solo career going. And the peak of his career was 1971, the concert for Bangladesh. George Harrison, Bob Dylan, Leon Russell was maybe the third guy in that show. He played a pretty nice set, including a version of Beware of Darkness with George that was really spectacular. The alternated verses, really, really good.
See, once again, I feel like I should know more.
Yeah.
But I just don't.
Well, that performance, I really remember that because it was George, Leon Russell, Badfinger were all playing on stage, too, because they were Apple mates with George. And so those guys had big hits at the time, too. And Leon was definitely having his moment in the sun. But should we do Chappelle?
Yeah, I thought he was great.
Yeah, this is really the best open, I think. The best monologue I've ever seen.
Which is just him doing stand-up. It's just so comfortable.
I know. Yeah, it's really...
Wandering around.
You know, as I know it's been a long time. It's been a long time, so please be patient. You know, I didn't know that Donald Trump was going to win the election. I did suspect it. Seemed like Hillary was doing well in the polls, and yet I know the whites. You guys aren't as full of surprises as you used to be. And I think I speak for all of Black America when I say that we are all praying for Omarosa. I don't even know what she's doing in the news. But America's done it. We've actually elected an internet troll as our president. The whites were furious. We've never seen anything like it. I haven't seen white people this mad since O.J. verdict. There's a split screen with white people on both sides. Nah, I'm not saying I'm enjoying it. I'm just saying I've never seen this before. I watched a white riot in Portland, Oregon on television the other night. News said they did $1 million worth of damage. Every black person was watching that like amateurs. So I'm staying out of it. I'm just going to take a knee like Kaepernick and let the whites figure this out amongst themselves.
The whites.
Because, well, you know what I mean? We've been here before. We've been here before. And I don't even think it's the most important thing we're dealing with, man. Don't forget all things that are going on. Shootings. What do you think about that? All these shootings in the last year. The worst mass shootings in the history of the United States. Pulse nightclub, which they said ISIS did. And then it turned out that wasn't exactly what happened. And if that is what happened, then ISIS is scarier than I thought. They have very deep cover operatives. Look, guys, we're going down deep for this one. I might have to get a Grindr account and jerk a few guys off and throw them on the train.
What's popping?
You guys are awesome.
I don't think the guy was in ISIS. What happened was he pledged allegiance to ISIS before he did what he did, which is not the same as being in ISIS. You know what I mean? Like, I was going to have sex with a girl, and right before I did it, I screamed out, Wu-Tang. That don't mean I'm in the Wu-Tang Clan. I'm just shouting Wu-Tang out. It's more shootings than I can literally count. You can't even go to the goddamn zoo without seeing a shooting nowadays. They shot a gorilla in my local zoo. And the Cincinnati police said shooting that gorilla was the toughest decision this department ever had to make. I said, well, you about to see a lot of niggas in gorilla costumes in Cincinnati. Why do we have to say that? Why do we have to say that Black Lives Matter? Now, I admit that is not the best slogan, but McDonald's already took You Deserve a Break Today. And I guess it's kind of catchy because everyone else is biting it. Even the police bite it. Blue Lives Matter. What was he, born a police? That is not a blue life. That's a blue suit. If you don't like it, take that suit off, find a new job. Because I'll tell you right now, if I could quit being black today, I'd be out the game.
I love that.
I did the next best thing. I became a rich black person. Which is harder than you think, because, you know, your life becomes gentrified. Like Brooklyn. All your black friends start moving out, and all these new white friends start moving in. You find yourself saying things to friends you grew up with that you never dreamed you'd say. I'm sorry, nigga, you can't come with us. There's only enough room in the balloon basket for four. Donald Trump, he did it. He's our president. And I feel bad saying it. I'm staying in a Trump hotel right now. I don't know if he's going to make a good president, but he makes a swell hotel suite. I'm going to tell you that. Housekeeping comes in the morning and cleans my room, and I just, hey, good morning, housekeeping. Grab a big handful of pussy and say, you know. Boss said it was okay. Sorry about that, Lauren. All my black friends who have money said the same thing when Trump got elected. That's it, bro. I'm out. I'm leaving the country. You coming with us? Nah, I'm good, dog. I'm going to stay here and get this tax break, see how it works out.
That's
how
great.
It is being Dave Chappelle. It's the first time I got some money, it didn't work out like that. Most unlikely thing that happened ever was a black president came out of nowhere, like, come on, everybody, let's start thinking about everyone else. Oh, nigga, I just got this money. I didn't think it was possible. Trump went to go see Obama last week. Did you see that? Yeah. Did you see Trump's face when he came out the meeting? Trump got sunned. He looked shook. Trump looked like he got shook. He probably came in there. Hi, how are you, Mr. President? Good to see you. Hello, Donald. How you feeling? Oh, God. Got to tell you, this job looks like it's going to be a lot harder than I thought. Really? It's not that hard. I mean, at least you get to be white while you're doing it. I'm just saying, I'm a little nervous. Nervous? Come on, man, relax. You haven't even met the aliens yet. It's going to be all right.
The aliens.
I don't know what he's going to do. But I know Obama did a good job. Obama did a good job. I think we'll all miss him when he's gone. Do you agree with this? And thank God he lived to tell about it. This is the first black dude that ever heard America's secrets. And I'm happy he lived. If someone threatened our president, that is the only time that I'd want him to be stereotypically black. We'd be on the news like, an assassination attempt was carried out today on the United States president. In a bizarre sequence of events, the president himself was armed, fired back, killing four people that had nothing to do with the incident. He then ripped off his shirt, screamed out Chi-Town for some reason. You know, before I go, I do want to say one thing, and this is not a joke. But I think it's important that I say this because they're marching up the street right now as we speak. A few weeks ago, I went to the White House for a party. It was the first time I'd been there in many years. And it was very exciting.
How did you get to go to the White House?
And BET had sponsored the party.
BET party.
So everyone there was black. And it was beautiful. I walked through the gates. You know, I'm from Washington, so I saw the bus stop. Well, the corner where the bus stop used to be. Where I used to catch the bus to school and dream about nights like tonight. It was a really, really beautiful night. And at the end of the night, everyone went into the West Wing of the White House, and it was a huge party. And everybody in there was black except for Bradley Cooper for some reason. And on the walls were pictures of all the presidents of the past. Now, I'm not sure if this is true, but to my knowledge, the first black person that was officially invited to the White House was Frederick Douglass. They stopped him at the gates. Abraham Lincoln had to walk out himself and escort Frederick Douglass into the White House. And it didn't happen again, as far as I know, until Roosevelt was president. When Roosevelt was president, he had a black guy over and got so much flack from the media that he literally said, I will never have a nigger in this house again. I thought about that, and I looked at that room, and I saw all those black faces in Bradley, and I saw and I saw how happy everybody was. These people who had been historically disenfranchised, and it made me feel hopeful, and it made me feel proud to be an American, and it made me very happy about the prospects of our country. So, in that spirit, I'm wishing Donald Trump luck. And I'm going to give him a chance. And we, the historically disenfranchised, demand that he give us one, too. Thank you very much. We've got a great show tonight.
Oh, man. I just, you know, Louis C.K., there's been some great people have opened. And I've never seen an open like that.
See how good
Not
it is
good.
When you have a stand-up, do a monologue.
Yeah.
you know, as opposed to the song and dance type people.
Well, I know. I really prefer somebody who writes their own material and writes great material like that. But there's how many guys that can do that in a week?
Yep. Yeah.
Sounds like he's been working on it for a while. But, yeah, that was so outstanding. God damn.
And I was getting off a Tribe Called Quest. Love them, man.
I thought about you.
Love them.
I remember those guys. I just wasn't a huge fan. I don't know their music.
It's all I've been listening to this week. It's the new album. I love it.
You know, today Oprah tweeted something out about she has hope for America, and she... Did she say she had hope for America or hope for Donald Trump? Doesn't matter. Whichever one she said, she is getting wailed on. Absolutely wailed on. Celebrities, Patton Oswalt, a few others. Not that Patton Oswalt's that big a name, but are just hammering her. Like, oh, I used to like Oprah.
What'd they say back?
Just that she's a turncoat. That, I mean, the second example they gave after Patton Oswalt said, I used to like Oprah. Past tense.
Well, Chappelle just basically said the same thing.
He did. I know. That's what made me think of it. I thought
he's elected president. There's nothing we can do. He hasn't even been inaugurated yet.
Why would
he's
you?
He's already backing off some of his big campaign promises. Give him a chance. It's not going to change anything.
If you saw him on 60 Minutes tonight, he didn't seem all that scary. I don't think he wants people beating people up or any stuff like that.
No, he looked at the camera and told him to
stop it.
Come on.
Your president-elect is saying, stop it.
Jesus.
It was funny that he looked in the camera.
It was a little ridiculous.
Well, what's he supposed to do? I mean, is he going to go out there and start fighting with people?
You know, he did blame that part on the media, too. It's like, well, they're just showing you at your rallies and the stuff you're saying.
Well, somebody apparently got to him overnight because he had a reasoned tweet in the morning.
Anyway, but, so what about Oprah?
You can't say anything now. You know, political correctness, which is so bad as it is and which Trump represents the freedom from, is now 20 times worse. If you say anything positive about Donald Trump, you get the shit handed to you. What is that?
Well, I think it goes on both sides, though. You say anything about Hillary and you would have gotten the crap, you know, beat out of you, too, or...
Well,
just what people do now, thanks to the internet, thanks to Twitter.
Regardless,
kind of what it exists for.
It's the whole thing to me is just embarrassing. First of all, I can't believe that both sides don't realize that the other side hates your candidate just as much as you hate their candidate.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenally equal, if you ask me. And she won the popular vote. It was incredibly close. People bitching about the popular vote, saying it was stolen from them or whatever. Are you kidding? This system has been in existence for a million years. This was my biggest fear, though, was that someone would win the popular vote and lose the electoral vote because that gives...
We've been through it before.
16 years ago. So anyway, Oprah's really... She's getting absolutely hammered for a simple tweet. Actually, a nice tweet.
Yeah.
I mean, I think... This is what pisses me off about people nowadays, and I think a lot of people went into the Obama administration this way, just hoping he would fuck up and do everything wrong, and you could say, see, he sucks.
Oh, I know. That's just childish, though.
And now I think the same thing is going on with Donald Trump. I don't think anybody really wants him to do a good job.
Hey, I hope he proves everybody wrong.
How can you not root for the president? If the president fucks it up, it fucks all of us up.
Yep. I agree with it.
I mean, if the president does a shit job, if the president is one of the all-time worst presidents, then we're all going to feel the pain. You really want that for 8 years or 4 years?
Do you think the salty people, the fringe on each side, don't you think that's a really small minority?
Oh, when you say the fringe, you mean...
The people that get so upset and just attack the other side and attack. Don't you think that really is the fringe?
It seems like the biggest fringe I've ever seen.
Well, with politics, of course it would be.
But I mean... In any political election, I've never seen people so angry. I've never seen some of the stuff. Somebody I know was talking about and actually I saw it on the screen. This person was saying, if any of you are voting for Trump, I'm defriending you. And I mean, they were serious.
A lot of people have, yeah.
You're talking about voting. It's a personal thing. Why would you ever care enough about how someone feels about a political candidate? I mean, I don't understand all this intense partisanship. I know you want your person to win, but... People aren't in perfect agreement on politics. We never have been. And these people are not a million miles apart. Of course, he's a Republican. Well, he's not. I don't know what he is. he's him, she's her. Of course, there are major differences in what they'll do and what their policies are. But it's really a personal hatred, though. It's not.
Oh, I know. And it extends to the and people that vote different from you.
And what is
that's
wrong?
That's what I don't get about hating. Like you just said, hating people that vote different from you or have different political viewpoints. It's supposed to be a conversation. But God forbid.
Yeah, what do you think? Disagree. Everyone's going to vote. Everyone you know and like is going to vote the same way. It's kind of like Amy Schumer. I can't believe, you know, my heart's broken a million pieces. And calling the Trump voters dumb. She's a performer who depends on people to come see her shows. I can't believe she would insult half the country like that. Yeah, I'm sure it probably won't matter. She'll have her career.
I'm sure a lot of her fans probably weren't. I'm sure as many probably weren't Trump voters. But yeah, I mean.
A lot of them booed when she laid into that Trump voter.
Yeah, remember, they booed because they don't want to hear her political thoughts no matter what. Even
no,
if
I don't think they do. I think
you agree
stupid.
With them, yeah. Make me laugh. Be more funny.
Well, yeah. And honestly, I don't. I kind of agree with the people. I would not pay to see Amy Schumer talk about politics or have sexual assault victims stand up or talk. Yeah. You know, excoriate some Trump voter. I think it's just stupid.
Bad business.
I agree.
Be funny. So, yeah, I was just reading this thing. This is from a couple days ago about all these college professors canceling exams in class to have these sort of safe space conversations and sort of the sky is falling. And then, you know, you got these elementary schools where kids are crying about the election because they think they're going to be deported or they think they're going to be killed or they think something horrible is going to happen. What is wrong? And for this, I blame the parents, by the way. Why would you so involve a child in something like this and make them feel that it meant so much that their life was going to be somehow destroyed by whoever's elected president? That's ridiculous. Kids should be playing. Kids should be on their computers screwing around playing video games or whatever the fuck they do.
Well, they've been up late watching Trump's greatest hits, though.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you expect? They're kids. They can't comprehend it.
But kids would not be crying if their parents weren't telling them or implying in front of them that somehow their life was going to change for the worse. And kids chanting, build the wall to Latino kids? Yeah. What the fuck is that?
How old is this kid?
Kids are bullies.
And then, but these college kids, you know, what if that person in that class is a Trump person who likes Trump? What they need to have the exam off. Well, first of all, I think it's just stupid giving an exam off over an election. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I didn't hear that. I didn't know they were doing that.
Yeah, at Yale, and I think there was a couple schools. But you know, when we went to school on Wednesday, which would have been the day after the election, the only thing I knew is that it was quarter beer night, and there was no way anybody's going to get in the way of that. I mean, I'm really shocked that people in would be beside themselves and unable to proceed with their classes.
I would love to know how many people took up that offer. Although, you know, to get the exam delayed, I think a lot of people will take up the offer and pretend that they're hurt.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought about that.
That election really bummed me out. So take the election like a week or what?
I think they're changing the grading scale, whereas the previous exam means more and the final exam means more, and they're just you can just blow that one out completely. You don't ever have to take it. Yeah.
Hey, did you ever have that in college where you had multiple tests and they would throw out certain ones?
No, I think you could.
I had classes like that where there was like four exams and the lowest grade was tossed out.
I thought it was
kind of weird, but it was great because if you ace the first three, you're just like, I'm not taking the fourth one. I'm not taking the final.
Oh, that's awesome. I don't ever recall having that deal.
Which I thought was a really important life lesson. If you bust your ass the first three times, you don't have to do it the fourth time.
No, that's great. I wish everything was like
that. It really teaches you where your bar is. Mine is usually at mediocrity. That's what I strive for, because then if I pass it, I'm golden.
No, I love that.
Just aim for, you know, slightly above average.
Well,
never great.
And the idea of getting it out of the way, too, just killing the first few and being able to blow off the final. What a fantastic feeling.
Well, you focus on everything else.
God, I hated final exams. That was such misery.
Yeah, what, the pressure, the stress?
Well, just having so much at once, I guess, all of it in 1 week.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good exercise.
Oh, 100%. Even if you do have dreams for like months afterwards about missing them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever have those?
Oh, yeah. I still get them. God. I still have them.
I used to get them for work all the time because when we worked mornings.
Did you fail to go to work?
Yeah. I'd be dreaming that I woke up at like 8:30.
You know what I dream?
I'd wake up for real and it'd be really early and then in my dream I'd go, well, wouldn't they have called me?
Oh, you're in your dream. You go through the whole process.
Yeah, I was really late. Or this is the other one. I'm running the board, and every time I pressed a button, it didn't work, or something else would happen.
I think a lot of mine are radio related, but the college one I always have is that I find out at the end of the semester that I've been in a class the whole time.
Yeah.
And I've never been to the class.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, I'm not graduating. I never went to this class.
Or that you have to take the exam and you haven't been to class.
Yeah, I haven't been to the class. Exactly.
Yep. How horrifying.
Yeah, that's amazing. I know a lot of people have those dreams. I'm just shocked that, after all this time, holy shit.
College should be high stress. It should be competitive.
Yeah, college, for a long time I felt like I wish I had just started in radio and skipped college.
Really?
Yeah, because I could have gotten somewhere faster, sooner.
Oh.
As opposed to, bumbling around in small towns, when I'm 25, 26, 27.
I think it worked out.
No, it did. but I felt that way for a long time. Now I'm you see the maturity that you just learning to manage your life and manage a schedule and manage all the things that you have to manage in college, including a checking account.
Mm-hmm. You're so mature.
I'm surprised at some people. I'm surprised at people even my age and younger who still struggle with their finances, and not so much that they can't make any money, but they can't manage their money.
You know what's funny?
That's checks all over the place.
Speaking of managing money, you still write checks, right? When you get a bill, do you write the checks?
Depends on the account. Some are paid through automatically.
Okay.
But I do write checks. I'm sure I write more checks than most people.
Do you? So for like, for even a credit card, do you write the check to it, or do you just have them withdraw?
I write the check for my credit cards.
Okay. So then don't just withdraw from your bank account. I don't either.
I would fuck that up if I did. I have to keep absolute track of everything.
All my younger friends, that's all they do. That's all they do.
Everything's deducted from their account. They never write a check.
Did you ever write a check, Jay?
No.
No, well, really? No,
I totally understand it.
I pay my bills online through online banking.
Yeah.
But I don't have them automatically take them out because there's months where a utility company will screw up the bill.
Uh-huh.
Like you get a $500 bill when it's normally $100. So I didn't want them to have...
But credit card bill, do you have them withdraw from your checking account?
No, I pay my bills like I It's like I write a check, but I just do it online, though. I go onto a web screen and write an electronic check. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't have them take it out of my account automatically.
That's funny. I still write them out. I don't know why. I like the exercise of seeing where the money is going.
I do, too. And it seems really stupid. And, it's funny. I really lose track of, for example, my heat bill is paid automatically. I have no idea what this house costs to heat. I have no fucking idea.
Like when the credit card bill comes in, do you go over every charge? Do you look at it?
Yeah, I do.
I do, too. But I know so many people that just don't do it. It just gets paid automatically. I'm like, really?
And when I don't do it, inevitably at the end of the year when I go over stuff, I go, oh, my God, I'm still getting the Boston Globe. I'm getting charged every month for the fucking Boston Globe. I wanted one article from the fucking Boston Globe.
I don't know why I feel old school about it, but whatever.
Well, I basically do the same thing you're talking about. I want to see where it's all going, too, but I just do it online as opposed to writing it out by hand, but I do keep track of all
When that. I got paid, I resisted direct deposit for the longest time because I liked getting the physical check.
Yeah, I got my physical check until I left. I did. I was the last guy. I think it was two people, me and somebody else.
I liked going to the bank. I don't know why. It's just not me.
I do, too.
Because it gave me something to do. you actually go somewhere. You go to a brick-and-mortar store.
I like going to the bank. It seems crazy, but I do. I don't know why.
The only cost is your time, which, whatever. I had nothing but it now.
But see, Drew, you're talking about how if you don't keep an eye on your account, see, again, if your heating bill, if they screw up with the utility, just says this month you owe $500, you wouldn't even know.
I know. It's scary. And you know what? Tess has had a lot of experiences with online bills where she got double billed her mortgage for months.
Oh.
For months! Yeah. Her mortgage!
Yeah.
It was like $7,000 they owed her.
Right.
And if she hadn't found it, Would she have paid two mortgages for the rest of her life?
Or she would have paid the house off just twice. Really?
But remember you also talked about how you had all those extra DirecTV satellite receivers.
Oh, yeah.
And didn't know about
That's
it.
That's right.
They were charging me for
6 receivers, and I had 2.
Yeah.
Because We had taken it out of the basement and gone with cable. I forgot why, but
well, it's like they
owed me. Yeah. They owed me like $800 DirecTV, and yeah. they knew it.
Yeah, really, I've known a lot of people had that same exact thing happen to. They would have a problem with the receiver. They'd call and have it replaced, but they mm-hmm. wouldn't deactivate the old one.
Right,
and they still had it on the account forever. And I know people own thousands of dollars.
So let me ask you, step two: do you guys save like your paper bill after you write the check and stuff? Do you save your bills
just till the next?
No,
month?
I don't save my bill.
Really?
No, I don't.
I save them all.
Do you really?
For how long though?
For like 4 years.
Oh, I kind of wish that I did. Sometimes I wish
there's
I
no
did.
Reason. I mean, if yeah. I get audited or whatever, I mean, it's all online.
I just save it till the next month to verify that yeah. they got the previous month payment and I shred it.
So I, like, just keep I actually have month. A credenza. it makes me feel old saying that I have a credenza.
Hey, do the guys who get everything deducted, their credit cards included, do they bounce checks very often? Or do they,
no,
their accounts get up in arrears?
Everything works out fine for them. They have no like paper trail whatsoever. They don't even have an office. It's just all on a laptop.
Well, that's really nice.
Which is fine. I mean, that's the new normal. I'm the old man that's, you know, yelling at clouds.
Definitely.
I get it. I don't know why.
It just until recently, you know, I wasn't even having my cable or my heat bill or any of that stuff done that way, but I started doing it, and it just now I don't even think about the heat bill. It's just the money goes away. And
but you do auto bill pay like through your credit card, right?
Ooh.
So when the heat bill comes in, they charge your
yeah,
credit.
They charge my credit card.
Yeah. Yeah, I you know what, I do that only to get the points for the credit card.
Oh,
no,
Mark.
It depends on the account, but
they,
yeah,
it does go to my credit card. You're right; it goes through my credit card.
But if they want to take it directly from the bank, I don't know why. I feel like I have to write the check. Stupid, silly.
Has it ever worked in your favor, Mark, where you had to go back 2 years to look up a bill to dispute? So I don't know if you had.
Never.
Never.
If anything, it's probably cost me because I forgot that I had a bill due and didn't write the check in time. So I got a late fee charge.
By the way, every experience I've had with a mistake in terms of, you know, just deducting it from your account or putting it on your credit card, every mistake I've ever heard of has been in the utility's favor or in the cable company's favor or in the bank's favor. I've never heard of anyone who said, God, they forgot to take my money for, you know, the cable or whatever. I've never heard that ever.
Really?
Every mistake I've heard has been that they were owed money because they took too much.
Have you ever disputed anything on a credit card?
Yeah.
It's kind of wonderful. They really don't turn anything down.
I know. I love it.
There used to be a time where I maybe would drink a little too much and then buy stuff on eBay, and then the next day go, I don't want that. or made a purchase and go, I don't want that, and then call the credit card company.
The last time I disputed something?
You can only do it a few times before they really get a little upset.
Now, what happened? Did they just – so the transaction never went through? You never received what you bought?
With eBay, I just never sent them the money, but with websites and stuff – like that I forgot to cancel, you know, the reoccurring one. You dispute it, and then they send you all the paperwork, and, you know, you make up some reason for doing it. And then
you're not the first.
No, I know everyone does it, right? But you can only do it so many times before the credit card company goes, wait a second.
The last one that I disputed, I had this bill. Okay, I was doing my taxes, and I'm looking through all the credit card stuff, and I noticed this $2,500 charge. And an ophthalmologist. And I'm like, that's not my ophthalmologist. Who the fuck is this? What is this? And I'm going crazy. I'm thinking, what could this possibly be? I called the place. I said, have I ever been your patient? I felt so stupid. Like, no. I said, well, what are you charging me $2,500 for? And they were like, I don't know. It doesn't appear you ever came here. So I called the credit card company. I was on the phone with the lady from the credit card company, who was about to call the place when I said, whoa, hang up. And they got on the phone, and I realized.
Yeah, boy.
I paid for something for my mom.
Oh. Well, it was already done. Work was already done.
Yeah, it was done. It was my mom.
Could cancel it.
So they could have said, you know, I wish they had said, oh, there's someone with your name. You know.
You would think, yeah.
But they didn't, so.
Or matched up the charge.
Actually, it wasn't an ophthalmologist. It was an ophthalmologist. That's where it was.
See, credit card companies, stupid. If you pay off, you know, what you owe every month and never carry a balance, so you never get charged the interest.
I usually do.
It's the best thing in the world. They give you free points and free crap, and then they have the best fraud protection. I've had my credit card number stolen from one of the, what do they call where you swipe it? The
scanned?
Yeah, where they steal it.
Yep.
And it's fun getting those calls going. Did you just buy $400 worth of train tickets at Central Station in New York?
Wow.
No, not at all, because I'm in the city of Detroit right now. What are you talking? I know exactly where it got skimmed from.
Where?
There's a gas station on 8 Mile and right by the radio station, 8 and Myers?
Yeah. No shit.
Myers is over there.
Yep, because it's the only time I had used it for a long time, and I used it there, and the next thing you know, 2 days later, $400 charge. But, you know, they just wipe it off.
Well, they're asking me about charges all the time.
Yeah.
It comes a text message on my phone. You know, did you charge this, this, this? Answer yes or no.
Yeah.
And answer yes, and they thank me, and that's
sometimes
that.
Answer no.
Well,
then you just can't use that credit card for a few days.
Have you ever had your card, like, shut down when you're in the middle of, like...
No,
there's this one time where I was just running errands. It was, like, the only time, the day of the week that I had time to go do stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I stopped at 5 or 6 stores. By the time I got to the 6th one, you're like, your card's no good.
Yeah, because of unusual patterns or whatever. Yeah,
so I'm like...
That's kind of cool, though.
Oh, yeah, if you go to Buying Binge, that'll happen.
Yeah, so I had to call the bank. I was like, what the fuck's going on here? And they're like, well, we saw these, like you said, patterns of activity. He's like, this is my only day to run errands. You know, am I going to have to do this every time?
Should have seen it the other days I ran errands.
I didn't call the bank before I went to France. Big mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Everything was going fine until I got to Cannes. Where the film festival is, and, and I'm at the Melendez, which is right across from the Cannes Film Festival, and a really sweet hotel. I was having a ball there, too, because Matt and I had bought the fart machines.
Yeah,
with the speaker and the other remote thing, which I was holding. The speakers at the other end of the table we were gambling at, stuff like that. It was hilarious. We had more fun with that thing.
Did the French like farts? They like farts.
They laughed. Right? They laughed. People laughed at it. Because we had the elevator we were going up and down the elevator. Just, oh, here come more people. Yes. So I had the elevator with people just hitting that thing. And it was such
anybody
a blast.
Ever get bummed like, this is not funny.
People tried not to laugh. Some people did, but usually, you know, as they're getting off the elevator, they're laughing.
There's one thing that unites people in the world. It's a good fart.
Mm. Yeah, it's the international language. So anyway, the front desk informed me that, like, the third day I was there, I said, we will not be accepting your credit card. And I said, really? And so I said, what's the problem? They said, I forgot why they said it, but without even calling the credit card company, I said, okay, well, then I'll just have to pay when I get home. and so they were just completely flummoxed by that remark, and they said, hold on. And they called me back like 10 minutes later, and they said, everything's fine.
Really?
And I said, yeah, because I just kept repeating it over and over. I said, I'll just pay for it when I get home then, because I have no way to pay for it.
So just kick you out of the hotel then?
Yeah, they would have, but I'd already run up quite a bill.
Oh, so. Okay. Yeah, okay. So they're going to want to figure it out how to get their money.
Yeah, so they called the credit card company, who called me, and then, you know, everything was cool.
Hey, is this a new thing where hotels charge you a massive deposit every time you go in, instead of just taking your credit card number for incidentals?
They should not charge you a massive deposit. That's bullshit. Yeah.
True. The other, when I was in Chicago, $100. $100 a night, mm-hmm. And I had to put it on my credit card.
And then they deduct if you have a pay-per-view
later,
or something.
Which is fine. But it's just like, really? It's kind of...
It's, what hotel did that?
Embassy Suites.
Really?
That's,
the Embassy Suites did that?
In Chicago. I was really surprised. And that's like a nice hotel in a nice area. I doubt they have many scammers.
By the way, I just had a discussion recently about someone, I don't want to say who, it doesn't matter, and I'm not judging them, but somebody about my age who doesn't have a credit card.
I don't get it.
How could you possibly live without a credit card? I mean,
I don't get it.
It seems to me there's about 19 things you absolutely cannot do.
How do you check into a hotel then?
Cash.
Debit card?
You have to put up cash for your deposit, too. They will not let you just run up a phone bill. Well, who uses it?
Well, no, but
you
can't order.
Who uses the hotel phone, by the way, to call long distance? No, does anyone do
it's
that?
It's used for wake-up calls. That's all it's used for now.
The last person I know who did that was John Bobbitt. When Bobbitt was visiting us in Detroit, his manager, what was her name? She was cool.
Oh, God.
Wait, Diana? Shit. Can't remember. Anyway, she told me the next day what a challenge it was being with Bobbitt, traveling the world with John Bobbitt, because he's making appearances all over. He'd been in Europe. And she said in London, he met a chick, and he really dug, you know, John falls in love every five minutes.
Of course.
So anyway, at the hotel that he was staying at when he was doing our show, he ran up a $300 phone bill calling the girl in London from the hotel phone. He just like called.
Well, he wasn't paying for it.
Yeah, he was.
Oh,
it was out of his money.
Really?
Fuck yeah, it was out of his money.
Putting him up in the hotel.
Well, I think
I bet you he thought it wasn't his money.
He didn't care. But he spent $1,000 in the gift shop once. That wasn't in Detroit, but it was somewhere else. He was just, I mean, the challenges of having John Bobbitt.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's like having a 9-year-old with adult privileges.
Oh wow. Yeah, how do you live without a credit card?
I don't know. I don't get it.
I have a friend that never got one because they couldn't control their spending.
Yeah, some people.
But that would work if you have a debit card too.
Some people I know have started operating with cash because they're so irresponsible. They're so impulsive about buying things. And I understand that. That's cool.
You could just put a limit on your credit card. You could leave it at home.
Yeah, that's the best thing to do.
How much of that you think is people just dodging the interest rates because they're in
the 20s? But if you pay it off every month, if you don't. It's one of my favorite SNL sketches of all time. It was an infomercial on how to save money with buying things.
Oh,
you don't buy things you can't afford. That was the whole gist of the punchline of the sketch.
That just made me think of the one where the making change. Remember that commercial?
Oh yeah,
that was really funny.
Oh God,
is it the bank that makes change?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's.
speaking of money and credit cards, etc. I want to thank all the people who have donated to the podcast. And if you haven't, by the way, and you want to, go to the website, drewandmikepodcast.com. I don't know why I'm always surprised that people don't know that, but why would they know? If you're not on social media, you're not on Twitter, I guess you wouldn't know.
Or if you're just using an app on your phone to listen.
Yeah, go to drewandmikepodcast.com. And we've had a lot of donors over the weekend. I was doing the math. It's like about 1.5% of the podcast, which means that if you want to donate and you would like to ensure the future of the podcast, you should donate. Because we need more. We need, in order for us to survive with people full time, we're going to need some help, unfortunately. It may happen that we don't. We're going to have a sales operation in 2017. But
I feel like there's a t-shirt to be made there for the 1%ers.
Well, let's hope it doesn't stay at 1%.
No, I know. My podcast, 1%ers.
We're close to 2%. But we need more percenters. Like
100%.
Yeah, well, 100%. Hey, we don't need any sales. Which reminds me of, I was kind of cranky yesterday morning over a lot of things. Putting up a new website is a real headache. Not for me, really, but for Jay more than anything. But of course, I have to hear about it. So Jay was.
I have to hear about it.
How many hours were you on your computer, Jay, yesterday?
Yesterday, doing the additional stuff.
Yeah.
Not doing porn, just doing the work.
Oh, well, shit, 30 minutes in. No, but
with porn, it's 32.
I don't know, 8 hours, probably.
There were just glitches. A new website, there's always glitches. So.
And we were adding some additional things, like all the fan pictures and stuff like that, getting that added in.
And so, resizing. Yeah.
Cool. So there's some more cleanup stuff that had to be done.
So anyway, I'm talking to you, I'm talking to Joey, I'm talking to Jay, and I'm just like, I don't know, it was just sort of coming down to me, and I was like, and plus I'm thinking about the donations, I was really happy, like, God, 300 people. I'm looking at the amount going, yeah, boy, we need a lot more. I'm thinking, this is really not easy. I just don't like asking anybody for money. I hate it, but we have no choice. If we're going to survive, we have to get help, and a lot of people have said they want to, and we could do the subscriptions, but we've talked about that. It will make the audience significantly smaller. It'll be harder to sell to advertisers. So this is the way we're going. It's a shot in the dark, but we're giving it a shot. So anyway, as all this is crossing my mind, I get this email. I would not have a problem donating, but you guys have to at least put on an hour of a podcast 6 days a week. So many other podcasts, YouTubers I listen to, put out content 7 days a week and get donations.
Name one, first of all. What one?
I don't know who he's talking about.
Never seen one that puts out as much content as we do. We
put out at least, generally 2 hours a day, at least.
So he wants 6 hours a week. We put out more than 6 hours a week.
Well, he wants at least an hour on the sixth day, I guess, is what he's saying. Well, he goes on. I'm a contractor and work 6 to 7 days a week, 10 to 12 hours a day. Ooh! You guys barely put out podcasts 4 days a week for an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours total. Where's he getting his information?
I don't know.
I haven't taken a week off. Taken a week off. We've had weeks where there were four shows, but
yeah, like if we had the Grand Prix or the marathon where I wasn't here, or stuff like that. I mean, we've had one or two of them here and there.
I think he thinks because there's no Friday podcast, there's only 4 days. It's Sunday night. We record Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night.
Yeah,
not Friday night. That's 5 days.
And you did do a Friday night.
Yeah, we just did. We did Sunday night too. We did six this week. That's right.
There's been a few weeks.
There've been a number of them.
Yeah.
So there.
Yeah. So anyway, let's see. And you guys put up podcasts 4 days a week for an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours total, 8 hours of content for 4 days. Really? God, I wish I could work those kind of hours. Not complaining, just making a point. Give more, get more. Like the podcast, been a listener through WRF Drewcast Limited and this limited podcast. Do more. Keep it up. Push out more content. Just speaking the truth. Trump.
What?
Yes.
Oh, boy. I love, too, that, of course, the only work we put into this is what
goes, oh, yeah. goes into the mic. Just show up and just wing it.
That's true with any radio show, though. Right? Whatever you're on the air, that's all you do. That's all the work you do. You guys leave at 10 a.m.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, shows that talk for the entire time also, it's a little more work than if you're playing 8 songs an hour or something like that. But anyway,
right.
Here's a PS. This is all said positively, not negatively, smiley face. Oh, okay. So,
how are you supposed to take that positively?
I have no idea. I didn't respond very positively.
You guys are lazy, just being positive.
My response was, and I thought this would put an end to it.
Oh, yeah, no. I can tell you right now, no.
No.
Nobody wins an email, Twitter war, text war.
I said, obviously, you have no idea what goes into this. In terrestrial radio, I have 16 minutes of commercials an hour, a staff of 6 people full-time. I had to buy own equipment, have an engineer set it up, etc. We have monthly bills at radio I wouldn't have. We also do a lot of the producing ourselves. Please do not donate if you have any doubt or you think this is easy. I don't need your money or charity if that's what you think it is. Okay. He says, not saying it's easy, but more would be great.
Well,
so I responded
again. The enemy of good is better.
I said, no, but you were saying we're working a light schedule, which is far from true. So then he comes back.
Oh, boy.
2 hours, 4 days a week is pretty light. I'm going to start contracting that schedule. Sound good? I'll create a donate button for my business so it'll pay for my 3 daughters in college. Cool.
2 hours.
Well, go ahead and do it then.
Well, I just love that one. First of all, 4 days a week, normally record Sunday through Thursday, which is 5 days. When Leduff is available, we've done 6 days a number of weeks. Off days, I spent at least 2 and 3 hours clipping papers, printing off the web. We've done this for 6 months and have asked no one for a dime. I've spent over X on equipment. It doesn't matter how much. Thousands more finishing my basement. The other players have also done this and received nothing in return. What makes you think anyone's putting a kid through college? We've had a donate button for one fucking day. You do whatever you want with your contracting. I will do what I do. If you have such an objection to my schedule, which I've tried twice to explain to you, is not a light schedule by any means. Nobody who succeeds in radio wings it. Anyway, if you have such a problem with it, don't donate. And if you think it involves so little time and effort, I can't fathom why you would listen.
Save your money for when you call 1-800-MAKE-OUT-WITH-A-GUY.
So he actually responds. It's a good podcast. Like to hear more? I get your point, though. Touche. So I just said, no more.
It sounds like you won. My God, you actually won
I guess. You got my point. Touche.
You won a correspondence war.
I just said, no more. I'll leave it there. So anyway, the point being, if you have any doubt, I saw a couple people on Facebook saying, donate if Mike Clark was there more often. It's like, if you have any doubt or any qualms about donating, please do not donate.
Do it, yeah.
I don't want it to be a conditional donation. I don't want to feel I have to jump through a fire
to earn
your money.
When you donate to whatever you donate to, it's supposed to be because you want to do it.
Right.
You shouldn't be guilted into doing it.
The idea is to ensure the future of the podcast, because if we don't receive a certain amount
please
of donation.
Please tell me there's been, I'll donate when Mark gets out of there.
I haven't seen one of those yet, but who knows before it's all over.
Stupid liberal.
What?
There are some questions about Mike Clark, and you know,
we can't answer.
I know, I don't really want to talk about it
because it's not my business.
Him.
Yeah.
But I don't think Mike's going to be here for a while. I'm just going to say that in case anybody's thinking, well, I'm donating money, but Mike Clark. No, he's not going to be here for a while. And it's not that he doesn't want to be here. It's not that Mike is dying or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he has something to take care of. You know, life gets a little complicated at times, and he will not be around for a while. I do know the last couple times I talked to him on the phone, he's very optimistic about coming back. He wants to come back. Yeah. It just he can't do it right now. And you're just going to have to understand that. And he may post something on his Facebook. I don't know, but it's really, you just got to trust me on this. So there. So donate. Donate. Give it till you can't afford your mortgage.
Till your wallet's empty.
Yeah. No, we do need your help. And if you want the podcast to continue and you have no problem with donating, you're proud to donate, happy to donate, go ahead and do it. If you have any problems with it, please don't. It's okay. I'm happy you're listening. We need all the bodies we can get, because selling advertising will be more successful with more people listening. So the people that can't afford to donate, please, by all means, don't even feel bad about it. Continue to listen, because we need you. We need all those numbers. So anyway, I'm pleased with the way things are going. We just need more bodies, and I think we'll get them. So there.
And thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
As people that have donated.
I know. And some of them make you feel so bad, too. It's like, well, I can't afford to give much, but I gave $10. Like, that's great. $10 is fantastic. I mean, just donating at all. I mean, I can't imagine. The day I thought I'd be asking somebody to pay for radio.
It's weird. It's very foreign.
Yeah, it's really strange. Fortunately, we're not the only ones doing it, though. People are hearing other people do the same thing.
Yeah, stop donating to all those people.
Yeah, fuck them.
They don't need any money. They've had donations long enough.
Some people do say, it's funny, it's kind of a hint thing. Like, I mean, nobody wants to pay for anything they don't have to pay for. So, some say, I do your podcast with commercials. Have you guys thought about that? Yes, we've thought about that. And of course, we haven't.
I never want to charge subscriptions. I think that's just dumb.
It's just so limiting. You end up talking to 5,000, 3,000 people.
And there's no way to grow either.
Nope. I mean, how many
limited opportunity to grow?
The one that I know that's doing really well with subscriptions is charging like $9.95 a month, which I think is a little much.
Really? Yeah. Oh my God, it's a lot. You know, it's funny. I remember when...
They make a lot of money, too, and they don't have that many people listening, but it's just an operation. It's a cash machine is all it is. It's like you have no reach.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. When Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant started, which is in the dawn of podcasting, I mean, they were one of the first to do it.
Yes.
They were able to charge because it was so early on, not as many people were doing it. So they charged like $2 an episode.
How many episodes did they do?
They did a lot, man. They did a ton.
No kidding.
Yeah, and then they took those episodes and sold it to HBO and repackaged forms. I mean, they made a killing on it. They're still some of the best radio I've ever heard.
So I wonder why. Did they have a lot? They must have had a lot of subscribers.
Oh, yeah, all over the world. Well, he had already done The Office. They had done other things as well.
Oh, yeah.
So they were well-known. They were famous. But they were early, and before it was weird to charge people for podcasts, they were able to get away with it.
Well, it's a new thing, too. Podcast is becoming a more common term.
Mm-hmm. Everyone does it now.
Yeah. Everybody is podcasting. It's starting to piss me off a little bit. Isn't it getting a little ridiculous?
Yes,
it is. I mean, seriously, I've had probably 10 people who listen to us who have said, I just started a podcast. And, you know, they'll always say something like, you know, I don't have anywhere near the experience you guys have, but we're having a good time. And they're kind of sheepish about it. But it is, I mean, you know, I'm 7-Eleven and the manager at 7-Eleven, my son has a podcast and tells me what he's doing with it and stuff. And I just wonder who listens to all these podcasts.
I don't know. It's just funny because it's, you know, this is our chosen profession, sort of.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I wouldn't go be a surgeon. Like, if a surgeon had a podcast, I couldn't go do that.
I know. It is funny.
It makes me feel lesser
it is,
for choosing this profession.
It's a little disconcerting, but not really. When you listen to them, you realize that you do have to know what you're doing in order to do it on any kind of a commercial level.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, look at all the people that have started up their own YouTube channels just because they can.
Yeah, most of them are garbage.
Yeah, and they've got like 10 subscribers, which are probably family members, and their content just blows.
Well, what drives me crazy is, you know, in spite of what this emailer had to say, as much as we know goes into this, we see this story about these clowns, you know, on Instagram doing these stupid things that aren't funny on 60 Minutes and making millions of dollars. It's like, you got to be kidding me.
The influencers.
Although somebody sent me something, a story about that very thing, and they said that it's fading fast.
Oh, really?
I don't know why. The money is disappearing rapidly. Well, there's less and less people, I guess.
Think about it this way. You know, because Facebook and all these websites have such great analytics, you can really nail down a demographic. The problem is you have a bunch of people aiming for the same demographic. So if you have a kid who doesn't have much purchasing power anyway, who watches one, they're going to go look at the next one, and then the next one, then the next one. How much of your message is really getting delivered? I don't know. I mean, that's up for the advertisers to decide.
I was surprised to see those huge advertisers dealing with those putzes. I mean, it just really blows my fucking mind.
Yeah, but
mind.
If you can say, look, we can deliver 6 million views in this demo. And
but 6 million people who think that's funny. Do you want those minds? I wouldn't want those people using my product. I would feel they would misuse it and hurt themselves. It would lessen me.
It would hurt the product if they bought Dunkin' Donuts. It would hurt Dunkin' Donuts' image.
Yeah, because people will not adapt. They'll go, I don't want to do what that asshole's doing.
Those millennial brats at Dunkin' Donuts.
Then I was reading about Lindsay Lohan, who can still post if she plugs something on Twitter. Twitter, I guess it's Twitter.
Instagram. Probably. Well, okay. Probably both.
$15,000 a pop.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. It's just a numbers game, though. They reach a mass amount of audience.
So I wonder how many people
are real.
She plugs. I mean, she go, you know, I wonder if I want to buy that ring. You know, I'm just going to plug something on Instagram. I mean, I wonder if she has endless offers or if she does 3 a week.
I can't remember who it was. It might have been Scott, what's his name? Lord Disick. It might have been Disick.
Oh, yeah.
Who, you know.
Lord Disick.
Lord Disick. Everybody in the Kardashian clan gets paid to put stuff on Instagram, and I believe it was him that posted something on Instagram and just copied and pasted what he was supposed to write from the email from the company. Like they,
oh, you're kidding!
They basically, you know, he takes the picture and then they're like, post something that says this, and he just copied and pasted it.
Was he joking?
But he also copied and pasted the instructions part that says, "Hey, when you do this picture, take this." He just copied and pasted the whole thing, which made it so obvious that he wasn't ever writing any.
Of course, I mean, it kind of takes the steam out of it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So Scott Disick is making wads of money promoting. Oh God.
Yep. Did you see Black China had her baby?
Yes. Do you see the baby sucking on that big boob?
No,
on TMZ,
really?
There's a shot of this giant fucking tit.
Oh, wow.
And this kid just being crushed by it. But the kid looked like the kid was happy.
It's probably like drinking from a fire hose. You know what I mean? This poor little baby and this giant titty just blasting it with milk.
Unbelievable. That show cannot be a hit.
No, it's terrible. It's
have you watched it?
It's terrible, yeah.
I've been wanting to watch it, actually, because I have a feeling it's probably really, but maybe almost dumb enough to be watchable.
No, it's not even that.
Not even that dumb?
Like, I still sometimes find parts of the Kardashians to be dumb enough to be watchable. Not much.
I can be occasionally amused.
It's funny. It's not as dumb as it used to be, so it's not as watchable as it used to be. Because in the beginning, there was still something so stupid about them making their way to becoming famous.
Yeah, definitely.
And now they're so ultra rich and ultra famous that there's nothing relatable nor charming about anything they do.
Yeah. No, not charming.
Like flying to Paris and then off to, you know, Tahiti and right. And the stuff they're wearing or shopping. It's so unrelatable. Whereas in the beginning, they're a little more relatable because they're on the cusp of fame. Or
did they tone it down after the robbery?
Oh, yeah. No, well, she disappeared.
Yeah.
She absolutely disappeared first. She's off social media, I think.
This merch took a huge hiatus, but I don't know if...
I don't think they've started back up, Jay. It's a good question.
Well, that was so utterly stupid. She's showing this $10 million ring on... Was it on Instagram?
Mm-hmm.
They know where she is. They know where she's staying. I think she was bragging about that, too, because it was some swanky hotel in Paris.
But you know what's funny about that ring? I was reading a story that said she gave them the ring, like, while they were robbing her hotel room.
Oh, so they wouldn't kill her?
Yeah, but, like, they didn't know about the ring, so that's kind of up in the air. Do they really know that she had the ring or where the ring was? But what? Who cares? They got it now.
Wow.
And she's fine. She'll be fine.
I wonder, I mean, would you think if somebody was going to rob Kim Kardashian, would you expect them to hurt her? Because it sounded like she was so terrified. Yeah.
Don't hurt me. Don't rape me.
I don't know. I don't doubt that she was terrified, right? She has always been a target of some sort.
For some reason, I can't see someone killing Kim Kardashian. It just seems
dumb.
It seems too
stupid.
Dumb.
Yeah.
It seems too stupid.
We could just get Kardashian off.
You're in prison for killing Kim Kardashian, really?
That would be one of the dumbest murders.
What a mindless way to throw away your life.
Most murders are somebody knows the person, right? That would just be so random. Like, are famous people randomly killed unless it's by a stalker? right? No.
No, 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 no. Absolutely not. During no, they knew she was.
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. Speaking of celebrities, did you read Us magazine?
Oh, no. Who's in Us?
I don't know, but I always like the 25 things you don't know about me.
Oh, one of my favorite segments.
Who would you like to know 25 things about?
Who's in there?
John Travolta.
Oh, perfect.
Look who's talking. Oh, God. It already starts with a pun from a stupid movie.
Yeah, there's always tons of those.
The 62-year-old movie star reflects on his life for us. And I found that most of these things you don't know about John Travolta are either flying related or food related, which is really kind of weird. But number one is I'm an average tennis player. Like, that's number one about him.
An average tennis player? What?
Hey, you did not know that.
You're right.
About John Travolta. I think, if anything, you probably thought he was a great tennis player. And he's, I'm just average. number two, 40 years after Carrie, my co-star Anson Downs still runs lines with me. So they're sitting there doing lines from a movie 40 years old. How boring. Hey, John, how you doing? You want to run some lines again for an old movie? Number three, my favorite article of clothing is a black T-shirt.
Whew. Okay.
Oh, my God. This one is so stupid. I envy Barbara Streisand's museum filled with her iconic costumes. Said no one ever but John Travolta.
He was not thinking when he put that one in there. I mean, that one is just so, it just, there's so many implications there.
Oh, the hell,
Barbara Streisand.
I know. But this idea that he's sitting around going, oh, man, Barbara Streisand's museum. God, it's filled with all those iconic
costumes.
I envy that. It's so stupid. That's
the gay man in him just flying out. He can't fight it. He only fight it so much.
What the fuck does that mean?
Well, it'd be worse if it was like, I really envy. I'm trying to think of some gay superstar. Who's a good gay superstar? Like, I really,
Elton John.
I really envy Liberace. Elton John. He gets to suck a lot of dick without me caring. Five. It gives
David
me.
David Guest is so handsome. I miss him so much.
He's like, live with his husband. Five, it gives me great joy knowing that, this is so stupid, it gives me great joy knowing the joy Jane Fonda and then Gene Siskel experienced from owning my Saturday Night Fever suit.
What?
Oh, Jesus.
He didn't even own it or make it. He wore it in a movie.
They paid extreme amounts of money for it, too. Yeah, they didn't enjoy it. It was an investment.
They got joy out of it, and that therefore gives him joy. Okay, my 16-year-old, this one's just embarrassing. My 16-year-old daughter, Ella Blue, is a better parallel Parker than I am. Just, I would never admit that if I were you, John. Seven, Marlon Brando told me he never laughed so hard in his life than when he watched me imitate him on Saturday Night Live in 1994. I'm sure Brando was just being nice to you. Number eight.
Not even remember it, by the way.
I don't either. No one does.
And I find it hard to believe that he laughed that hard.
He didn't. It's just something he told John Travolta to make him feel good. Eight, I've been working on the life and death of John Gotti for over 6 years. There's your plug for whatever movie's coming out.
Okay.
Number nine, John Gotti Sr. and I have a few things in common. We both love a gin martini, although I only have one once a week.
Whatever.
Number 10, I don't cook often, but if I do, I consider myself a decent cook. I wouldn't embarrass you. I'd make it flavorful.
Oh, my God. It's
John, I'm telling you, all of these are gold.
John, have someone edit this, please.
And this is like, I don't know who talks like this, but number 11. I wake up and have the strongest cup of coffee you could ever imagine using half a pound of Starbucks Sumatra blend. It's epic.
It's epic.
Did you guys have any friends that talk that
way? Oh, no. He sounds like he's so out of touch.
Andrew Lloyd Webber initially asked me to do Phantom of the Opera, but it didn't work out. So there he's bragging for. My favorite TV show is Mad Men. 14. This one's really dumb. During O.J. Simpson's infamous Bronco chase on June 17th, 1994, as opposed to maybe another Bronco chase O.J. did?
Yes.
My dad was visiting me and was in complete disbelief of what was happening, being that he was a football aficionado, coach, and player himself.
Who
Travolta.
Wasn't?
Everybody was.
Duh. Well, I guess John was sitting there going, oh, this is the most normal chase I've ever seen. It's the biggest, why are they following this thing?
Why? He was such complete disbelief, Dad. Well, son, I played football.
Can't believe you've interrupted a program for this.
15 Kirstie Alley did a fabulous job on Dancing with the Stars, but I wouldn't do it. I don't mind giving a little sample of my moves here and there just for the memory. 16, it drives my wife, Kelly Preston, insane if I let my eyebrow hairs grow too long.
Well, that certainly is interesting in light of some testimony about some coarse pubic hair.
Yeah, wiry and unkempt. 17, sometimes I will...
Does it not drive her crazy when he's sexually assaulting men who are massaging him?
Well, notice the pubes don't drive her crazy because she's never down there.
Of course not.
Doesn't mind if those are too long, wiry, and unkempt.
How can she... I don't get that one. That's so... I mean, everyone knows what's going on with him. Everyone.
I know.
Of course, she knows more than us. She knows more than anybody.
Come on to class and be happy, John. 17, sometimes I'll indulge in McDonald's. 18, when it comes to award show speeches, I believe in jotting down notes and leaving room for the moment as well.
Oh, in case he's going to mispronounce something that people will talk about for years to come?
Adina Menzel. Or the Adele one and only. The wickedly talented. All right, here come all the pilot ones. You ready? 19. As a pilot, I flew from Mexico City to L.A. in the middle of the night with Marlon Brando and Sean Penn.
Oh, Jesus. Shut up.
Number 20. I once had dinner on a LAX tarmac with Steven Spielberg and Kate Capshaw.
So what?
Number 21. I'll never forget flying with Muhammad Ali from Los Angeles to Las Vegas.
Oh, he flies? Is he like a taxi service for celebrities?
I think he is. The best piece I ever... Here's another Brando one. The best piece I ever received from Brando is he said, don't expect things from people that I can't give to you. Don't expect things from people that they can't give to you.
Okay.
That seems like that's obvious brilliant. Advice.
Know, yeah. It's totally obvious.
This might be my favorite, though. Number 23. As a wedding gift, I flew Barbra Streisand and Jim Brolin to St. Thomas. I got news
for you.
They
had to fly with him.
They could have bought, they probably would have preferred to fly a private jet without knowing who the pilot is.
Right. Because they had to act like they were such a favor and, oh, John, this is so nice. Probably to talk to him during the flight.
Yeah, which they did not want to. They just wanted to stare at each other and make sure they're still next to each other.
Maybe they're incredibly cheap. I mean, that's the only reason I can think of that they would do that. But they've got so much fucking money. Why would they need that? Why would he do that? Why would he waste hours of his life?
Because he was envious of her museum that's filled with all her iconic costumes.
Could I have a lifetime pass to your museum?
It's so he could get him cornered in a space so he could ask for a lifetime pass. 24. My top five places to fly are Sydney because it's so inviting. Shenton Island because it's so beautiful. Hong Kong because it's so exotic. Sao Paulo because it's like so weird. The approaches between the high rises, once again, flying. And ooh. Paris because of the Eiffel Tower. That's just his way of bragging where he's been.
Of course.
And then 25, my favorite condiment is Coleman's hot mustard. That's his attempt at trying to seem normal.
Jeez. The funny story about...
Don't even pretend that wasn't...
Let It Go from the Oscar-winning animated movie Frozen. Please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
What? Who? Is that John?
The wickedly talented. He's really killing time there, isn't he? When she's the one and only. The one and only?
Yeah. Well, you know who she was. He couldn't remember her name.
I love that. I love that he mispronounced her name. That was so funny.
Oh, Johnny boy.
The story I just love about John Travolta and his flying adventures is when they actually flew commercial and the kid said, what are all these people doing in the plane?
Yeah, because they're so used to being on a
They're so used to being on his 707
with nobody.
Empty row after empty row. Oh, nauseating.
God, they're just not normal people. Can't relate.
Far from it.
Oh, well, at least know that he's always going to be envious of Barbra Streisand's museum because of all her iconic costumes.
What is Trump? So he's got he's playing Gotti or somebody?
Oh, Travolta? Yeah, he's playing John Gotti Sr. That's what's weird.
I can't see that.
Well, no, but nobody could see him as Shapiro, and he did a fantastic job as Shapiro.
I could see him as Shapiro, though.
You could, really?
Yeah.
He just seems bigger than Shapiro, like physically bigger. Do you think he's a good actor? You think Travolta's a good actor?
He's okay.
Not bad.
It's all right. I like his movies.
I liked him as Michael. Was that the angel?
Oh, Michael?
Just kidding.
That movie where he's a genius?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's hilarious. It's such a stretch.
I really liked him as Xenu in Battlefield Earth. Did he play Xenu? Who did he? I don't even know what he was.
Xenu.
I don't even know what that character's name was.
Oh, my God. That movie is such a debacle.
I kind of want to watch it again. It's been years.
How could you not quit the religion over that? Because they pressured him to do that, didn't they?
Yeah, well, or else they'll release the audits.
John, we've got some pretty serious material about you from your auditing classes.
You might want to do this.
You don't want this getting out. You're going to have to play Xenu.
Battlefield Earth.
I always think of Battlefield Earth and Waterworld in the same. Like, if I think of one, I think of the other. I get them mixed up.
Waterworld wasn't that bad. It was dumb, but it wasn't that bad. Battlefield Earth is just awful.
It sounds really stupid.
Oh, Turl. T-E-R-L was Travolta's character.
What was his character?
Turl.
T-E-R-L.
T-E-R-L.
Okay.
Turl.
Well, I was going to do a little more of the...
By the way, bomb. $73 million budget. $30 million box office.
For?
Battlefield
Earth.
Yeah, but it won. It swept all the golden raspberries.
So did Waterworld, I think.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I was debating whether to get into this whole 25-year thing tomorrow, because tomorrow actually is the Tuesday show. Well, actually, we talked about it earlier. Jay and I talked about some Friday night.
Oh, you did? What?
Yeah.
What,
and I'd forgotten, this is so weird, but I'd forgotten that you really missed that period from 91 to 90. What year did you start?
97, January 2nd, 1997.
97? God, that seems so strange to me. When I think back, I think that you were there in 95. But 97?
Well, yeah, Walters was there, I think, 95 and left, right? And came back.
Did he come back after you started?
Like about 6 months after.
Okay.
Right before the Wings won the Cup. Like right before then.
And when did Bentley start?
Oh, boy. He was an intern, left, and came back.
Right. No, he was an intern forever.
God, 2001 maybe?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I know that.
We had
he wasn't been there for September 11th, though.
We had some long internships.
Myself included.
Yeah, that's right. How long were you an intern?
3 months.
Wait, only 3 months?
Only 3 months. I got paid in March.
Oh, okay. But you'd graduated. I mean, you weren't in school.
I didn't graduate till 98. So I was in school for a good year, about a year and a few months.
You were in school and doing the show for that whole time?
Uh-huh. I got college credit.
God.
I got.
Which credit did you get?
This is what's funny, Drew. And they had since changed the rules afterwards. I got 8 credits for being an intern.
What?
Yeah, go over the course of 2 semesters, 4 credits each semester. And all I had to do was like write a report and have Rob sign off on my paperwork.
What's a normal semester at Michigan is how many hours? 12?
Normal semester?
Yeah.
Well, 12 would be what? Like 3 credits, 16 or 15 is like 4.
If you want to graduate on time, how many hours do you have to take?
I think 15 or 16.
Okay, well 4 is still a lot.
Actually, I think 14 because 12 was always considered light and 16 was considered a lot.
Okay.
So 14
a semester.
So
4 is a lot. That's really good.
Yeah.
That was quite a deal.
I know. It's great. It was the best.
What did you think of Trump on 60 Minutes, by the way?
Oh, I don't know. Once again, it kind of gives you hope that he's not as crazy as he was in the stump.
I'm beginning to get the feeling that he was freaked out when he got elected. That it freaked him out.
She, Leslie Stahl, whenever I see Leslie Stahl, by the way, I think of that interview with, hi, Leslie.
Yes.
Special.
Of course.
Genius. But she mentioned that, or he said he went silent.
Yeah, he was silent.
So
he was elected.
That's a little scary, right?
But then, very scary. Very strange.
And then for him to admit that this is a whole different life for me.
Well, I think he meant as opposed to being Donald Trump before. I mean, he was a public figure.
Of course.
He certainly was, you know.
But most people wouldn't they have figured that out when you were running for president? Like, this is a different world. I mean,
I don't think he was clueless about it. I think he just meant
Oh, I don't think Clueless.
Running for president is one thing. Being president is another thing. I mean, there's two huge steps there.
But that's what I mean. It seemed like it really hit him. Like, oh, this is, I have to govern.
Right. I have to do all these things I said I was going to do. I don't know.
Which, what, and when he was running for president, what did he love more than anything?
Speaking. Public speaking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And doing rallies.
Sure.
How many rallies do presidents do?
Not many.
That's where he gets his energy from. He doesn't want to sit in a boring meeting with Paul Ryan. You think he wants to sit there and do that?
It's really strange. I mean, there's a part of me that feels like there's some sincerity there because I don't understand why he's doing this. I don't understand why did he run for president. He's 70 years old. It's funny. I was listening to Stern talking about the same thing, and Stern was saying he's got 10 summers left.
Well,
it's a strange concept when you're 70 years old, but I mean, yeah, you probably do have maybe 10 good summers left.
It's actually a good way to put it.
Yeah, and so he's just trying to figure out why would you blow 80 of your summers being president?
Or I mean, 10 Christmases left.
He's
got
he's got billions of dollars. Why would he do that?
And 10 football seasons left.
And on 60 Minutes.
Well, do you want the cynical answer, or do you want what people would say in his camp? Because people in his camp would say, to make America great again. He really cares about the country and wants to make him great. And I won't be terribly cynical. I think that's part of it. I think he's always kind of, I mean, there's been stories written about that, how he's always worried about this country from as far back as 1979.
I don't know why else you would run. I mean,
well, it is weird when he says things in the course of this interview where he's like, my God, he was being asked something, and he kind of went off. I think he was asked about how are you going to conduct yourself as president. He starts talking about sometimes you have to be rougher, and the world is taking advantage of us. And he ends it with, "I won big. I won big over Hillary," which is kind of an egotistical.
I think he
comment.
Means electorally, I assume, because I don't know what else he'd mean.
Either way, but he's saying I won big. Then later, he talks about how he was abused by the people in Congress. I mean, you got to admit some of this is ego driven.
Oh, running for president?
No, for Donald Trump especially.
Oh, I'm sure. But I think it's just for anybody that runs for president has got to have an ego.
Of course.
Why would you put your family? How could you put your family through that?
I know, but this isn't his chosen profession, so it's really got to be even more ego-driven. Like, if you're Barack Obama, that's kind of the pinnacle of his job, of his career path, right? In public office. Yes, he has a massive ego, Barack Obama, because he wants to be president. Absolutely.
Of course.
But to try it when you're just this businessman, I got to believe he's just got it seems to be more about him at times than the country.
Well, the thing is,
I don't doubt that he wants to make America great again, whatever that means.
But look at what running for president did to him. Look at what
it energized him. You got off on it.
It energized him in a lot of ways, but you've got like 47% of the country that fucking despises him. They're literally protesting. Well, let's see, 5 nights now because they're so disturbed. They hate this guy so fucking much.
I don't think it's really 47% that despises him.
Well,
because electorate. So you're talking what 24% voted for her. It doesn't mean they necessarily despise him.
Oh, we have a protester.
It's quite a few people. Look at Trump Tower, for example. How would you like to be a resident of Trump Tower about now?
I'd hate it. I'd move out. You'd have to move out.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about moving out.
People in the area are talking about moving out.
Trump hotels also are having problems because there's this mass of people in front of the place. Who wants to stay in a hotel with, 10,000, 2,000 people in front of it yelling at Donald Trump?
Yeah. No, I know.
And I was actually impressed that he said it. I don't know how much he meant it, but when she asked about what about the Trump brand, he's like, "Who cares about the Trump brand? This is more important." Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's a part of him that believes that, and part of him that cares about the Trump brand. I'm sure he cares about the Trump brand. I don't know. I still don't get how do you have a blind trust running Trump? How do his kids run it? That's not blind.
It's ridiculous. It's
how do you but how do you do that? I heard Giuliani talking about this, and I couldn't.
He was wrong when he was talking about. You talking about this morning, Giuliani?
What? What was he wrong about?
Well, just about because he's saying the kids are going to run it. That's like a blind trust. That's not a blind trust.
No, it's not a blind trust at all. But Giuliani was saying, how do you find someone to do a billionaire's job? And I think that's kind of true. I mean, it would be unfair for his company to just go down the fucking tubes because he's the president.
Well,
that would be ridiculous.
You got to find an independent trustee. That's not our problem. It's not
our
fault that is.
But who do you? I mean, this is unprecedented. We've never had someone like this run for president or become president.
You're
so,
right.
I mean, there ought to be some way to do this where somehow his company can be run successfully. But I don't know. You can't. I mean, what does the law say about this? What is the law?
I don't know. I'm not going to pretend I know the law. But ethically, I mean, if he's going to make decisions based on energy and he's got significant energy you know, partnerships and holdings, that's a little conflict of interest.
Well, of course it is.
Yeah, I mean, look, he at, has all an interest. Look at all the Halliburton stuff.
Exactly. That's a great point, Jay.
What does he not have an interest in, though?
With Bush and Cheney. Cheney huh?
Anything in the economy he has an interest in. I mean, it's – and also as a billionaire, I mean, when he lowers taxes, that's – well, he doesn't pay any taxes anyway, so I guess it doesn't matter.
Well, that was the other thing tonight. He still will not release his tax return, and then he pretends nobody cares about my tax return. It's like, no, if anything, they probably care more. They probably really do care.
That was actually funny. I really wonder if he will release his taxes. I assume he's going to have
to. Fuck no.
I don't know.
Why would he?
Well, they know he doesn't. People think he pays no taxes now. So if his tax returns say he pays no taxes, that's not exactly news. That's what people think.
But there's other things in there, like what he's who's investing in him and where he's investing, and you know, like can be worrisome.
Well, I don't know.
Do you think he's he just wants to do one term and out? Because if that's the case,
I don't know. I kept thinking about 10 summers. I don't know why he'd want it. I don't know why he'd want one term.
But if
I don't get it.
He's got one term right now.
Yeah.
But that could be really interesting if he's just one term and out.
I would be shocked if he can even run a second term. There's so much negativity about him. It's only going to get worse. There's so many people who are not going to give him any kind of a chance. But if the country is running, if the economy is smooth
who's
and the stock market does well.
He's not going to give him a chance. You mean legislators?
The people who can't stand him, the people who hate him.
They have no say, though. He's president.
No, I mean, when they vote next time.
Oh,
they're gonna, well, there's going to be such an effort to throw his ass out.
He makes America great again in 2 years.
You can't make America great in 2 years. Well, if he does a good job, you know, actually, this is my honest opinion about the president. The president is a victim of bad luck or a recipient of good luck. If the economy hums, in many ways, it's just a matter of you're in the right place at the right time.
I do agree with that, but you know, a lot of people like to point to Obama and his regulations that he had on business. Maybe the economy could have grown more. You know,
he's going to be pro business,
exactly. But if he rips up trade agreements, it's not going to help the market. That's not going to be very advantageous for the market.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what he does. I think he's going to do probably 10 to 15% of what he said he's going to do. A lot of he's not going to be allowed to do, and some of he's just not going to do.
But he does have the House and the Senate and a Republican president.
He'll do something. The first 100 days will be really interesting.
If he really is a Republican.
I don't know what he is. Well, I think he's
far more moderate than what
I almost consider him
to be.
His own brand. And there's some weird things about him. First of all, he's so pro-life. I never would have asked him what he was or thought about it, but.
But at one point, he was very pro-choice.
When did he become so pro-life?
When he wanted to run for president.
That's what I thought.
Well, that's what I was saying.
He makes it sound like it's really important to him. And I just am like, why do people do that?
And he got, 81% of evangelicals. I mean, was he pandering to get that vote?
I do not understand the Republican Party and its pro-life fascination. I don't get it. It seems to me that's one of the things that probably hurts that party as much as anything.
Oh, but there's a lot of people that vote on one issue, right? There's a lot of people that vote on Second Amendment. That's their one issue, and that's they're going to vote that way, whatever. And that's their right. They can do that. There's a lot of people that will vote.
They get hurt by those issues too, though.
I'll give you an example. There's somebody, a friend of mine on Facebook who made this long. He's a very conservative person. He's white, makes a lot of money, and he was talking. He's very Catholic. And he said, if you're a Christian, you have to vote for Trump because of the pro-life issue. And that's really like the one thing for him, which I don't get it, because to me, if you're Christian, it'd be more about accepting everybody, which I don't know. There just seems to be a lot of conflict there on that one issue.
I don't know.
But I would think more people are what I'm trying to get to. More people are one issue voters that are pro-life than that are pro-choice. Does that make sense?
I don't know if I agree with that.
You don't think so?
I'm not sure.
You think there's more, if it comes to the people that just vote solely on Roe versus Wade, you think there's more pro-choice than pro-lifers?
What are the women screaming about who are upset with Trump? Him controlling their bodies, not having control over their bodies.
Sure, but that's been decided in the Supreme Court, and I know there's multifacets to different types of terms.
He could appoint three justices. He could change that.
I know.
That would be, to me, well, of all the things to really be concerned about Donald Trump, that would be number one. If I was a female, that would probably be.
And there's a lot of people that voted that way, voted for him because he gets to put someone in the Supreme Court.
Well.
Can I just point out the thing I thought that was that kind of pissed me off the most in the whole 60 Minutes thing?
Yeah.
One of the things I did like, there's a couple of things I actually do like about Trump. I think the business tax, I really.
Oh, yeah.
That's a winner
I'm
all
for that.
And the whole other thing is to get rid of lobby. You know, in his first 100 days speech, he was talking about making a rule, like a term limit after you leave public office to not join a lobbying group.
Oh, good luck with that.
Well, she pointed out today that most of his transition team has lobbyists and special interest on it from Verizon, from gas and oil companies, from the food lobby, which how does that work if you're trying to get rid of them? But you're on your transition team. Presumably going to be in the executive branch.
Well, his response was just cracked me up. Everybody there is a lobbyist. They're all lobbyists. That's all there is there.
Well, why don't you hire the people that you hired to run your businesses that didn't work in public office then?
You know, that's a tricky business. I don't, you know, I think if.
But that undermines the point of him being an outsider.
I agree. I think when you're trying to get something done there, you have to have people who know the way around. Who else knows the way around there?
Mike Pence, I guess.
I mean, you're going to have a bunch of people on your team who've never been in politics before, that would be crazy, it seems.
How do you drain the swamp when one of the 50-50 head is the head of the RNC?
But how would he ever, if he hires people that have never worked in Washington before, how would they ever get things done? They wouldn't even know where to go.
Well, that's the point of the whole of him being an outsider as president, though. Well, he doesn't know how to be president then by that logic.
No, he doesn't. You're right. And the way
those two
it runs is disgusting, and it's stupid, and I'll be really curious to see if he gets anything done with lobbyists and special interests. I'll be really surprised, honestly, if he gets much done.
There's no
but
way.
But it is sickening what happens where people work in that system, and then they go, oh, I'm going to go work for South Korea, and South Korea is going to pay me $1 million a year to lobby because I know who to talk to, and I'll get shit done. And they're lobbying on behalf of South Korea against our interests? You know, what the fuck is that?
He could easily get that done with an executive order. He's not going to get it done with Congress.
Well, I got to tell you, I think that would rile up more people in that town than anything he could do. He could do. Because that takes away an easy living. Because, you know, isn't it interesting that all these politicians are getting so rich? I mean, honestly, I saw that. Did you see the home the FBI director lives in, Comey?
No. I'm sure it's fantastic.
It's like a $3 million mansion. Did you think the head of the FBI would live in a $3 million mansion?
No.
I was really curious. I want to find out, where do you get his fucking money? I figure people run the FBI make, it's still a government job.
Mm-hmm.
You figure he makes, what, 300 grand a year or something like that? I don't know.
Well, president makes four.
Yeah, president makes $450. They don't pay FBI directors $2 million a year.
No. Well, what did he do beforehand?
You know, I don't know. I just was curious when I saw his house, and actually that's kind of what the story was about, was how did he afford this? And how rich people are getting in public service. You know, and the Clintons, for Christ's sake. The Clintons, what's their net worth? What do we see in that? A couple hundred million?
Yeah.
I mean, the presidency, these jobs are not supposed to be.
They left the White House broke, though.
Yeah.
Just furniture. Well, every president cashes in once they leave.
The Clintons.
Obviously.
Oh, and Chelsea is going to run for Congress.
I saw that. That is just laughable.
She's going to lose. Her mother ran two of the worst campaigns in the history. I can't believe the DNC actually, she was the worst candidate they could have had against Donald Trump. The worst. Bernie Sanders probably would have won.
You think so?
I kind of do, yeah.
I kind of do, too. And that's funny. That's the irony in it, that when Trump talks about it being rigged, the only thing is rigged is the setup. And those are the rules, and the rules are made ahead of time. But superdelegates rig the Democratic primaries. They can pick whoever they want, really. It doesn't matter how people vote. Superdelegates hold so much more weight. If it wasn't for the superdelegates, he probably would have won.
This story I read today really made it sound like Biden was told to get out of the way. Hillary Clinton was running. This was her time.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that's what this one story was suggesting. I don't know. I mean, it seemed like a fairly good source, but I don't know if that's really true. Because I always thought the reason Biden wasn't running was because he was upset about his kid dying and his family and all that. And I understand. He's been vice president for 8 years.
The circus did a whole half hour on that, on Biden in general. Talked to his sister. Did you know his sister's like super close with his sister. She runs all his campaigns.
Really?
Yeah, Biden's sister does.
Oh, shit.
And they asked her the question, like, would you be winning? Would you win the presidency if Biden would have run? Would you have beaten Hillary? And she basically said, yeah.
Like, yeah, they I think know. He would.
Of course he would.
She lost to Barack Obama, a one-term senator. She was leading him. She was
People
killing Obama.
Hate her.
What's that?
People hate her.
No, I know. She's the worst candidate. And now Chelsea Clinton's going to run. So she can get her ass handed to her, too?
That reminds me of the Chappelle sketch where they were watching the election returns.
Yeah.
It's like, you replace a 40-year-old black guy with a 70-year-old woman. It's like, what do you expect? Of course she's not going to win. Oh, that was a great. That was a really underrated sketch.
Comey's salary is $170,000?
You know what he did, where he made
$170,000? Where?
Lockheed Martin.
Well, of course.
Senior, he left the Department of Justice in 2005 to become...
Well, he took a giant pay cut.
To become general counsel and senior vice president of Lockheed Martin.
The Clintons' net worth, by the way, combines $125 million, according to celebrity net worth, which we believe is accurate to the penny.
Oh, you know, it's totally 100% correct. He was also a board of director for HSBC Holdings. They're a massive bank, right? Foreign bank, HSBC.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Uh-huh.
So that's how he has all that money.
Who do you think is protesting? Who are these? Who is the average protester?
I think college-aged minorities in general.
There's a lot of white people out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're all young.
I think most of them are young. That's why when he calls them professional protesters.
What? Where were they during the election, for Christ's sake?
Not voting.
But they weren't even protesting. He had a 50-50 chance.
Because they never thought he would win. Isn't that really what it boils down to?
I guess. I don't know.
They never thought he would win. Which, you know, if it's a peaceful protest, I never have a problem with a peaceful protest. I kind of think that's what this country's founded on, is protesting in general.
Yeah, it's okay.
When it turns violent, that it's ridiculous.
I become obsessed with the time. I'm like... Who has time to
I know.
Protesting every fucking night?
I have time. I don't have anything going on.
I don't have time. Really, you have time? No. You have 5 hours a night you could go to Royal Oak and protest?
No. Oh, by the way, I saw a protest in Royal Oak on Friday night.
There was one.
For dinner, yeah.
You
know what's funny?
How many people?
Maybe 100. Maybe 100. But I saw all these people walking across the street. I'm like, hey, a lot of people downtown tonight. That was my first thought. And then I went, oh, wait, that's a protest. What are they protesting was my second thought. I was like, oh, you idiot. You're such a moron. That was my inner monologue. I kind of wanted to follow it. I don't know, like drive and just look at them. But there's a lot of honking, too, so I imagine they had a, you know, honk if you don't.
I'm like so befuddled reading all these people who either think they're going to be killed or something horrible is going to happen to them. When has a president being elected ever just wiped someone off the planet?
Well, the Southern poverty, killed?
Killed, yeah,
Have been, you know, the Southern poverty law firm, clinic, whatever, the people that track hate attacks.
Yeah.
Have reported 300 attacks. 10% of those are the other way on Trump. So, you know, 9-1, basically. So people are out there doing so. There was one in, you know.
Wait, 300 attacks against.
300 attacks after the election because of the election. 30 of them.
But there are
330
million people in the country.
I know.
That's a very small number.
Exactly. That's kind of my point.
No, well, that's my point, too, is I think
but
someone.
But it happens.
I don't understand why parents aren't saying. Because a lot of these people, like they're talking to kids and all these kids are saying, college kids. Oh, I'm so concerned. I'm going to be beaten up, or I'm going to be maimed, or something awful is going to happen to me because I'm gay or whatever, or I'm Muslim.
Don't you think Muslims would be a little worried?
Possibly a little worried, but I would have been worried.
Rhetoric.
I wouldn't be any more worried now. Whoever said beat the shit out of Muslims?
No one.
No one's ever said beat the shit out of Muslims. Everyone abhors that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like parents, there's some irresponsibility here. Where people aren't saying, look, it's just a change of power. This person has views we don't like. No one's going to kill you. Nothing should happen to you. If anything happens, call the fucking police immediately. And it's not like, what, they think that this is going to be law and order. It's going to be that we beat the shit out of, there's a new law, we beat the shit out of anyone.
Well, yeah, I know. Some
that Donald Trump has said anything negative about ever.
Some people feel that way. I think it's a little, it's like worrying about getting hit by lightning, maybe.
Yeah, maybe there's a slightly large chance in getting hit by lightning. But
you know, going off the comment about I don't mind if people protest peacefully and all that, there's part of me, though, that's like, you know, he just was voted in. Look, I get if you don't like him. I don't really like the guy at all. I understand why people would vote for him. But you know what? Let's see what happens. Let's see how true to his word he really is. Because, you know, what do you hear all along? I believe in the actions over the words. So let's see what he really does. That was interesting at 60 Minutes Tonight when she was asking him about gay rights, LGBT. Yeah. He didn't give a shit about that at all.
No. You mean changing him?
He has no. No. He does not. Well, that's a
little. He's never even spoken about it.
But the transgendered is still an issue, and that'll be interesting to see where that goes, especially with what he puts in the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I saw these transgender people were all interested in getting married immediately because they believe that Donald Trump's going to take away their right to get married, or the Supreme Court justice change is going to alter that. But that would take so long. I mean,
oh, I'm married sorry this about weekend. That.
I think I know the story of the two lesbians that got married.
Uh-huh.
They moved it up 2 days.
Oh, they moved up 2 days?
They were getting married Monday or something, and they decided to go to the courthouse on Saturday. That's how I took the story. I was like, oh, 2 days.
It wasn't going to change in 2 days.
It hasn't been inaugurated.
I don't know. I just feel like the people on both sides of this idea that anyone who says they voted for Trump or anyone like Oprah, anyone who should have voted for Hillary Clinton, who says anything nice about Trump or wanting things to be good, should immediately have the shit beaten out of them or should be wailed on or should be online trolled. I feel like Rodney King. Can't we get along?
No.
Can't we all get along? No. A little bit?
Uh-uh.
I mean, can't we root for something good to happen and hope that it isn't this
not
horrific thing? It seems like the sky is falling. The sky is falling. And the sky is not going to fall. We've talked about this before. The president doesn't make that much difference. Now, the fact that it's all red, 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 Congress, Senate, president, it's going to have some impact.
Mm-hmm.
But is he going to change all these people's lives? Are these people going to be killed? Be killed. I'm like, what? I'm surprised reporters don't say, because every time I see that story, I want the reporter to go, you're not going to be killed, you idiot. What are you talking about? No one's going to kill you.
It's not as good of a story, though.
I know. No, they serious, love printing the stories. And the stories about kids crying in school and stuff, and the story about Yale canceling classes and discussing what's happened to our country.
But it is weird. Did you see the video of the kids walking, yelling white power, carrying the Trump sign in high school?
Oh, I mean, come on.
It goes on both sides. It's just so over the top.
I've never seen anything so, the response is so ludicrous.
Well, I get, I don't know. I guess I could see why certain groups would be.
I see why people would be angry. Absolutely.
To fear being killed's a little extreme, but, you know, when you have so much progress. Especially in civil rights.
There's a ton of progress in a very short time.
For the last 8 years.
And it's not going to get overturned. It cannot and it will not. It will not be allowed to happen.
But can't you see why people would be fearful? It's like, oh my God, we finally got this thing and now we're afraid it's going to be taken away from us? Like, it's almost like they can't believe it happened this fast.
Well, I can understand being concerned about it, but to be as obsessed about it as, I mean, people are insisting that all the worst possible things. If Donald Trump is everything I thought he was and more, that it's like they believe that Donald Trump is the Donald Trump in the commercial, not the Donald Trump.
Those are his words.
Yeah, but those are his words 1,000 times in a row. That's all you hear. It's like Donald Trump makes fun of disabled people every 5 minutes. You really think Donald Trump spends a lot of time making fun of disabled people?
No, but he did it once.
Okay, he did it once. I bet if he could have it back, he wouldn't do it again. And some guy keeps sending me a video, because we've talked about it a couple times, of Donald Trump talking about Ted Cruz and about somebody else. And he does this when he's talking about him.
That was after the other one.
No. No, it was not. Okay. He dated him. I'm not kidding.
Okay. So I guess
why do you think it was after, by the way?
Because I thought that's what I read when I looked into it.
Oh, you thought he was trying to like make it okay after, what he did before?
I don't know.
That's hilarious. There might have been three people, actually.
Fine, he loves that.
This is a stupid person thing. That's what he does. He waves his arms like that. I don't know why. It seems stupid to me.
So then it's okay?
No, I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying. I got two emails from, well, actually, one guy's emailed me three or four times with the same thing, and I've deleted it three or four times because I've already seen it.
Go ahead. I forgot what I was going to say about that.
Well, I just don't think I don't think his goal is to destroy all minorities, to hurt blacks, to hurt gays, to hurt lesbians. I think that's a very, if it's a priority to him, I would be shocked.
Okay, but can I throw this out there? Maybe it's not that direct priority, but if he keeps talking about being the law and order candidate and kind of, you know, I could see where there's already seems to be a fear.
What does the president do about law and order, by the way?
A lot of things. I mean, I know police are controlled at the local level.
Yeah.
Well, but there's a lot of different things. Well, we talked about the marijuana. If he wants to enforce the federal laws on marijuana, he easily could. If he wants to keep selling military stuff to local law enforcement, you know, militarize them even more, he could do that as well. There's a lot of things he can still do.
I don't know.
But I can understand.
Yeah, I'm just completely blind.
If you're on the other side of that, I can understand why you might be a little scared.
No, I absolutely understand why people are scared. But I think as far as these kids and kids
are stupid.
Crying, it's like, why are people talking about this around their kids? Why are people panicking their kids?
Kids are dumb. Oh, I panic Charlotte all the time. It's kind of fun.
And I want to know. I'm dying
then you
know,
get to be the hero.
Have you seen the video of the black lady kicking her kid out of the house for voting in a mock election?
I
for
did,
Donald
yeah,
Trump?
Yeah.
Is that real? What is that?
Probably not. Probably going for viral hits.
That's the other thing. It's all viral, and people are texting me and emailing me about, have you seen this 7-year-old thrown out of the house for because he voted for Donald Trump? It's a black kid.
he voted in the election?
He voted in a mock election.
No, I know.
School.
So it makes it even dumber. Who gives a shit?
I know. That's what I can't understand. But honestly, this kid is bawling his eyes out. The kid, his.
Oh, so maybe he's not that good of an actor?
No. I've seen it. No.
No, it looks very real. I mean, in terms of the way the kid is. I mean, I don't know how you'd get a kid to act that way. The mother,
I don't know.
Actually, Google it, Jay. 7-year-old thrown out of the house for voting for Trump in mock election.
Oh, my God. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of on every side.
There's a bag packed at the front door, and she makes the kid take the suitcase out of the house.
That's kind of funny.
And the other kid is actually, there's a younger kid that's bawling, too, at the end. It actually made me kind of sad. And then I thought, this can't be real. Who's videotaping this? Who's taping this?
Are you playing?
Right
now. I mean, is there a cameraman?
You get your shit and get out.
Did she hire someone to do this?
The suitcase is packed by the dough.
Yeah, go.
Yeah, been packed.
By the dough.
Bye. Matter of fact, and get your sign so when the people see you outside, they know why you're standing out there. Here you go. No. Here. Take your sign.
Go.
Get out.
Get out of here.
Come on here.
Come on. Stop crying.
The little kid with a diaper makes it seem more real to me.
Okay. Let's go.
Oh my God, I'm stupid.
Here's your suitcase. Bye.
See ya. Beat it.
Get your suitcase.
No. This is Trump's America now. Beat it.
Get your suitcase and get out.
Stop crying too.
Bye.
No. No more crying in Trump's America.
I started. The kid screaming got a little much.
What's the follow-up? Is this kid okay?
I don't know.
Or is he living on the streets now?
Yes, he's found a new residence. Apparently.
He's living with a nice white family. A real rich white family.
Yeah, a rich white family's adopting
him. They took him in because he voted for Trump.
Bye, Donald Trump lover.
Nice neighbors.
She goes outside to taunt him.
Nice neighbors. Kids screaming that loud with the door open. There's not a single neighbor out there. Like, what the hell is going on?
Oh, I would have hid, though. If that was my neighbor, I did not want to get involved in anything ever.
Yes.
Jay, do you think he's fake?
Why did you vote for him at school?
The mom is taping it, isn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah,
why would you tape something like this? So DPS will take your kid away?
She's an idiot.
Just walked by the sidewalk, so yeah, it seems like it could be fake.
Because you see him on TV a lot. Boy, bye. Anyways, yep, you see him on TV. Well, I hope you find another TV to see him
nice
on.
Suitcase.
I know.
It's a good argument back.
You can't come back here. Bye.
No.
Beat it.
He voted for Donald Trump. No. Bye.
Oh, the other person
voted for Donald Trump. Oh, it's a real vote.
I know, that's my... Oh, whatever.
Oh, this is not making me want kids, that's for sure.
Oh, you haven't heard anything yet. Charlotte farted in my face today.
What? What?
I'm not joking. So we're getting ready. She doesn't like to get ready, which I think that must be my gene in her. I mean,
obviously,
you know, I'm late for everything. Doesn't want to get ready. So I'm like, we're going to church. Let's go. We gotta get ready. Let's go get ready. And she just wouldn't do it. So I went to go scoop her up and fireman carry her. Like, so she's, you know, laying over my shoulder, and I got her legs like this, and she's just bawling. All of a sudden, I start squeezing her like above her knees. Cause that makes her laugh.
Uh-huh.
And I start doing it, and she just goes, and I'm like this. So her butt hole is probably 4 inches away from my nose.
Oh, man.
And she starts laughing.
Of course she did.
I know.
How could she not?
Did you just toot in my face? I toot. Oh, I've created a monster. We went to get ice cream the other night, and she told me my flavor was chocolate poo.
It's definitely in terrible twos.
She's in the anal
stage. Are happening,
Freud,
man.
Freud's anal stage.
Yep, no doubt. That kid's having a ball.
That poor girl.
She's fighting the fight, though.
Oh, she's great. I love her.
Of course you do.
She's all right.
She'll get it. It's only going to get better from here. I mean, actually, they get pretty helpful when they're around 5 or 6.
I know. I realize today, though, I'm the problem with a lot of things.
What's the problem?
I'm the problem. I joke around with her too much, and Julie yells at me.
Well,
I set poor examples.
I want the kid to have a sense of humor. You want to be the hero parent.
I suppose.
You don't want to be the bad parent.
No,
I know. The mean parent, the disciplinarian, the practical parent.
So she had her
fun parent.
She had her little
spend money on her when she wants something.
She had her
crying.
Little friend,
what does she need?
Sam, and Sam's parents came over. And we're just playing around. Of course, it's like 3 adults and 3 children because I'm just sitting there playing around with them. But, you know, I don't think about it. I threw like a stuffed animal, which, of course, monkey see monkey do. It's like, oh, no, we're not supposed to throw. Oh, no, we don't throw things, even though I just chucked like a stuffed animal, a Grover stuffed animal.
Well, maybe you should get your learning curve a little bit ahead of hers.
I know. I believe me. I should, now, there should be a test to be a parent.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow, and in the meantime, again, if you want to donate, please do. If you're on the borderline, do not. Don't want conditions. That's not going to work.
If you want to get an email fight with Drew, send an email.
Send a shitty email. By all means, put all kinds of conditions on your donation.
You can keep sending me shitty ones. I read them and then just go, okay, delete.
When I get in a bad mood, I'll respond.
Yeah.
I'll thrust all my anger upon you. And it's DrewAndMikePodcast.com, and thanks to everybody, seriously, who has. I mean, it's certainly encouraging that so many people want to donate.
And thank you for not even mentioning the Michigan game from yesterday.
Oh, it's not that I didn't want to. Not that I wanted to punish you either, but it certainly is topical.
It's been almost 24 hours.
Yeah, I didn't even text Mark after the game.
I appreciate it. I was you know what? It's funny.
I was talking to 2 Michigan fans during the game, too, and they just went dark. It went dark on me.
I'll be honest, and you can ask our mutual friend Pat, because Pat was, you know, he's not a Michigan fan, and he was talking to Julie on the phone. I was getting really pissed that they were on the phone. This was in the third quarter. So in the third quarter, I was really pissed, particularly after the fumble on the kickoff. There were a couple other things in the third quarter, the turnover. And,
interception?
They had a turnover, another one, I thought, or something. I can't remember what happened. It's all an angry blur. But by the fourth quarter, I was just kind of resigned that I was going to kick a field goal and win. Like, Michigan could not move the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was going on there?
So when they made the interception off the dropped pass, you know, on the third down play, I thought that was going to be the drive, and then Stribling intercepted it. And then I was glad they passed, though, on third. Was it 3rd and 7 when they threw the ball?
Yes.
Like, I like that call, but after that, I was like, and then the face mask. Like, okay, I'm okay with this.
Did Spite was throwing some kind of floaty balls.
Spite was terrible.
Yeah,
terrible. And he overthrew Darbo on 2 long ones. You know, you connect
on open,
one of those. It's
very
a ball
open.
Game.
Yep.
You know, a whole different game. But for some reason, they just don't. You know, they haven't won in Iowa since, I think, 05.
Iowa's a motherfucker. I don't know what it is with Iowa, but they're tough at home. They're always tough at home.
They've lost 5 out of the last 6 to Iowa.
Yeah, I saw that today. I couldn't believe that.
They haven't won. I think they've lost four in a row in Iowa City or wherever they where do they play? Iowa at Des Moines or whatever. I don't know what the hell they play.
Kinnick Stadium, wherever
yeah,
that is.
Yeah, so.
Did you see that pile? I'm sure you were in no mood to watch, but did you see the pileup of players after he made the kick?
Yeah, after the kicker slid down, yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the coolest pileup of players I've ever seen.
No, it wasn't. Not really. It wasn't that cool.
I had a feeling you wouldn't agree with me, but
you
it
know,
was.
The first thing that popped in my head after that game was last year's Michigan State-Nebraska game, where State went on the road and lost to Nebraska,
uh-huh.
And that ridiculous one where the guy ran out of bounds, came back in on the pass.
Oh, yeah.
So it was kind of a bummer game, and I remember Joanna sent a text. It's like, season's over. It's like, well, not really. If you go win in Columbus, and it's the same thing here for Michigan. You go win in Columbus.
Yeah, if they lost to Ohio State and beat Iowa, it would be worse. Now they have a chance to beat Ohio State. It makes no difference. The Iowa game means nothing except for their undefeated record.
The only thing it means is you can't lose again. I mean, they could have beaten Iowa and lost to Indiana at home, I suppose. But
it might be a good lesson for them to lose a game.
What have I told you, though, under Harbaugh? For some reason, they play terrible on the road. On true road games, they're just awful. You take Rutgers out of the equation.
Well, it's so hard. You don't play a road game until, what, late October?
Uh-huh.
I mean, don't play road games.
But even last year, you know, they didn't play well. They almost lost the Minnesota game on Halloween night. They almost lost at Indiana last year. They won those two. They did lose at Utah the first game.
Yeah, first game.
I'm just saying, for some reason, this team does not play well on the road. And maybe that is because, you know, the first five were at home.
I still think they're going to beat Ohio State. I've
you
always
do? Why?
I don't know why. I just do. I don't know.
Well,
I'm
now,
just kind of sold on this team. Although I was concerned. I didn't like the way Spite was throwing the ball. I thought, what the fuck is going on? Why is he suddenly, he seemed tentative to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there were five drops, I think. Five that
wasn't
I got.
That many?
Four or five.
I just thought he had some open guys, and he's been hitting people.
Yeah, on the deep routes.
And he was throwing a floaty ball. It was like he was afraid to fire the ball the way he normally does. I don't know what that is.
Get ready for this. The new rumor is that he has a broken collarbone. Remember when he hurt his left shoulder, his non-throwing shoulder?
Yeah.
There is some talk that it is a broken collarbone, which he could be out.
Oh.
So we'll see. We'll see. It's his non-throwing arm. It's a non-throwing side, but still a collarbone, so who knows?
Yeah, no, collarbone's 6 weeks or something.
But I did see that today, so that's just wonderful.
Oh, shit. But, well, you know, the backups barely played, but at least he's got a lot of experience. He played a whole season at Houston.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever. It's not over.
You know, if you have to go to a backup quarterback at this point in the season, Jim Harbaugh is the best coach you could possibly have.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
They're still ranked fourth and third in some of the advanced stuff, so.
I thought that game, by the way, was one of the hardest hitting games I've seen in a while. I mean, there was some real hitting in that game.
That's funny. I thought the tackling by Michigan was just atrocious. I thought they were the worst.
Yeah, there was
time.
What's the back for Iowa 25?
Oh, yeah.
He was fucking good.
Yeah,
God, he was slick. I mean, he had some great moves. He just stopped and started.
Yeah, the jump. Yeah. Well, he burned Jabril a couple times.
He did. No, he was really good. I can see why you'd say that, but there was some real hitting in that game.
I didn't think they tackled terribly well in East Lansing when Michigan played up there, but I don't
know. No, they didn't. They didn't. You're right. Yeah, it was a bummer, though. Lions were off, so nothing there. We got to go.
Hey, Lions in first place now, by the way. Did you know that?
No.
Vikings lost today. Packers lost today. They're tied.
Oh, I saw the Packers game. I didn't know the Vikings lost.
They're tied for first place.
You know what's really funny?
And they have the tiebreaker right now.
With the Lions not playing today, I had very little interest in watching
Drew,
the NFL.
I watched a total of 5 minutes today, and I didn't care one bit.
What's happening to me?
What do you want to see? What game?
I watch football all day Saturday. I love college football. Sunday comes around, I watch the Lions game. That's it. I watched a little of the Cowboys game today. And a little of the Packers game.
What game were you terribly excited to see? Maybe this one that's on now with New England Seattle, because it's New England Seattle.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Super Bowl rematch, but
I don't know. The NFL's talking about running less commercials. I mean, the NFL is responding to this.
They should. At least they're out ahead of it.
I don't know what it is. I feel like it's me sometimes, but I swear to God. Nice pass.
Oh, my
God.
Sexy pass from Tom Brady. What a handsome
pass. His wife must have ordered him to make a perfect pass.
She doesn't tell him what to do between the lines.
I don't know about that.
God, he's good.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, what I was going to say was between the World Series and college football and pro football, I'm finding it just sometimes almost painful to get through games with all the stoppages of play, all the reviews, mm-hmm. and all the timeouts and the TV timeouts. It's
watch
like,
them on, record them or start late. I'm telling you, you start a football game for an NFL game 42 minutes in, you will be caught up live with 2 minutes left.
First of all, when I go to Michigan games, there's nothing you can do the game. There's nothing you can do. And I don't know. I like watching games live. I don't like manning the remote constantly, unless I'm really time managing, like I'm getting ready for the show and watching the game, even though Anthony doesn't believe we work there. I revealed his name. Sorry, Anthony.
The other problem with the NFL is like, every team is 5-4, 4-5, yep. 6-3, 3-6, with the with the exception of like New England and.
Well, it's why the Cowboy game. Cowboys, because they've won 7 games in a row.
Then you have the Browns, who are just a disaster. So there's too much. I don't know if it's parody or if they ever just sucks.
Yeah, well, I'd love to hear some people's opinions because I sense it. The ratings don't lie. I mean, they have lost ratings big time.
Mm-hmm.
Is NFL football just peaked and sort of reached a
oversaturation?
I think that's it, but I feel like it's more. I don't know. I wonder if this whole replay thing has just made some games get to be a drag. It's like these replay things take forever. In baseball, I find it interminable. Like, if there's 3 replays in 2 innings, you go, oh, my God, another one.
Yeah.
There's so many close calls, but all right. We're gone. We'll see you tomorrow.